Christo Fufas on Talk Radio.
Someone who, well, I don't know if this person is cynical about these things or not. I have a feeling that on the outside of the hard, brutal exterior is a little soft marshmallow underneath. It is, of course, Kath, yeah, who is here. Are you just Kath, like,
no,
Cher?
She's not soft marshmallow underneath. It's all, you know.
It's, I've got buns of steel, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
are you like Cher, Kath?
Madonna? Yeah, sure, yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. In the, come the end of the world, there'll be me and those hard bodies left.
Yeah.
Because we've been, you know, especially reconstructed. I'm actually 73.
Are you?
Titanium underneath.
I saw Cher a few weeks ago.
Oh, my God, I'm so jealous.
Oh, so good. She's amazing. She's
what,
amazing.
You saw her actually in the plastic?
I saw her
at the O2.
Did in the flesh. Wow. In the finely honed and bought and paid for flesh.
So, flying solo tonight, aren't you, from 10 o'clock? Tell us about the John Lewis ad. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's what you come to expect, isn't it?
Yeah.
They go straight for the old heartstrings. They're going to have to rummage a bit further for mine, but...
It didn't make me weep this year, though.
No.
Did you agree with my analysis that the reason we get excited by the beautiful, warm fuzziness of these adverts is because all of the rubbish and materialistic rubbish they've sold us over the years and made us obsessed with, we're now craving from them the very thing they took from us.
What, some heart and soul? Yeah, yeah, perhaps. I think the girl's red hair is glorious. It sets my heart aflame.
She said stage school to me all over
did
it.
She?
I thought she's got Sylvia Young all over her.
Apparently she's a young Scottish girl, and her father is very proud of her. I read in the newspaper.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe I'm being horribly harsh, and obviously, you know, I'm thrilled for her.
But I'm kind of over the John Lewisification of songs that we know and love, you know, slowing them down and putting a guitar on instead of the rest of the instruments every time, my God.
They need to do with, like, George Michael's I Want Your Sex, or, you know, Madonna's Justify My Love, or something like that. That's the one I'm waiting for Christmas. Anyway, Kath, are you going to be discussing that coming up, do you think?
Nah.
Or just going to be anything that sticks out there? I mean, you'll keep it going if anyone wants to talk about
anything,
it, right?
And everything. 03444991000. I'm also going to be talking about the weird things kids get obsessed with. There's one boy who will not be separated from his big plastic head.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it Cher again? Are we back to Cher?
No, I don't think so. Not this time. Also, improper use of electric toothbrushes and various other things.
You can do a lot of things with them. Yeah.
It's exactly what you think it is.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Doctors are saying, please don't do that.
That's very...
It won't keep you minty fresh, put it that way.
Oh, good. Well, and also, you want to make sure you've got a decent enough charge on it, don't you?
You definitely want the soft brush, do you, when you do that one?
Oh, be very careful.
Don't use a firm. Or maybe you do.
And make sure all the toothpaste is off it as well. Yeah. I mean, it's just something that can be...
Especially one with the stripes in it.
I'm no expert on these matters, but I imagine that would be an accident waiting to happen in many ways.
It's not being advised, put it this way.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, that is...
But I throw these things out. None of them will come back. They'll come back with something even weirder. You can bet your bottom dollar.
Well, that is why you are the late night alternative. So you won't be talking about the different fiscal approaches of the political parties coming up, which economic policy is going to be best on the
horizon. We covered all that, didn't we? I mean, we've done all that.
I think it's been fairly comprehensively done, actually. Yeah, obviously, it is a main area of expertise of mine, but I'll leave that to you guys.
Hold on, I'm just
going to
have a look. I'm so sorry, Kat, but all of the main parties have now announced a policy on electric toothbrushes, so I'm afraid you are going to have to cover that. I'm really sorry. Kath coming up from 10 o'clock here on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio. We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance. And if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. We can go where we want to, places they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, be the real one far behind. We can go if we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. See, we can act if we want to, if we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and cold, a little rude, and I can act like an imbecile. See, we can dance, we can dance, everything's out of control. We can dance, we can dance, we're doing it from pole to pole. We can dance, everybody look at your hands. We can dance.
think it'll work out right. I see, we can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. I see, we can dance, we can dance. Everything's out of control. But we can dance, we can dance. We're doing it from pole to pole. But we can dance, we can dance. Everybody look at your hands. But we can dance, we can dance. Everybody's taking a chance. Oh, it's safe to dance. Yes, it's safe to dance. Oh, it's safe to dance. Oh, it's safe to dance. Yes, it's safe to dance.
Man Alive, it is quiet around here. This is the Late Night Alternative. I'm Catherine Boyle. I'm always here, but usually you'll hear Ian Lee a bit more. Ian's taking a couple of days off just to get his head together. In the meantime, it's you and me, kid. 0344 499 1000. We've got all sorts to talk about tonight. I could give you loads and loads of topics, but you and I both know what's going to happen in that. Someone will ring up and all that stuff will fly out of the window. So let's keep our powder dry and have a quick word with a new caller to the station, Alan Caddick. Hello, Alan Caddick.
New caller, Cat.
What's going on, Alan?
Hello, bud. I'll tell you what, the football's been amazing tonight.
Oh, good.
Bum, 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 the Magnificent Seven.
Okay.
England beat Montenegro 7-0 tonight at Wembley.
Phew, I knew I felt special. They should beat Montenegro, shouldn't they?
But I didn't expect it. I want to be 3-0, not 7-0.
Good grief, that is a drubbing.
Well, Harry Kane got a hat-trick.
Gosh, well, that is his job, isn't it?
Well, he is the captain.
Exactly. He'll be pleased then.
So they're qualified for the European Championships next season.
Whoop.
Well... and you know, with big tournaments, we always choke.
Yeah. So don't get too excited, Alan Caddick. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we're going to lose by penalties to the Germans, like we did in Euro 96.
Yeah.
And it seems all right, but the man that missed the penalty is managing the England team.
Oh.
Gareth Southgate.
Mm. I don't care about football, Alan.
Anyway, what topic have we got tonight, Kath?
All right, here we go. Here's what we got. I'm glad you asked. It's very interesting that you should ask me that, because right now I'm just checking what I said earlier on. Not that it's going to make any difference whatsoever. A boy who's obsessed with a plastic head.
Yeah.
Right, this is about a little boy who is inseparable. His mum gave him, you know those, like, heads that hairdressers practice on? Like a mannequin head?
Yeah, the head you've got practice hairdressing on.
Yeah. Exactly, the head you practice hairdressing on. She gave it to him to play with so he could play with its hair. He's become obsessed with it, takes it everywhere, and he sort of carries it round, a bit like the headless horseman.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. It really is a treat. But that's what kids do. They sometimes get obsessed with things and not necessarily the beautiful toy that you spend ages picking out. They will, you know, there was a girl I was a kid with, and I remember she was obsessed with, she had like this baby grow that she'd stuff with a tea towel.
Yeah.
That was her thing.
With me, when I was younger, we used to get a Christmas hamper, and I wasn't interested in the food. I would just play with the box.
Exactly, Alan. Exactly.
I would make a car out of it.
Yeah, I've done that. That's good. Right, the other thing we can talk about is funerals for the living. In Korea, they are making people realise that there is still lots to life and that there are brilliant things still to be had and that people care about them by having a funeral while they're still alive. Would you fancy that?
Well, it depends on which Korea. Is it North Korea or is it South Korea?
You don't have to go to Korea, but you do have to sit in a coffin.
I wouldn't want to be buried alive. Can I look at Max Bonin, what happened to him in EastEnders?
When
Tanya buried him alive.
That sounds nasty. I don't think they bury you alive. I think you just lie in the coffin while people say nice things.
What, a fake funeral?
Boom.
Well, I mean, but people could be really nasty and say what they really think of you, and you could get hurt by that.
But, on the other hand, you could know exactly what kind of toads you were surrounding yourself with and start afresh.
And then, when they finish being nasty about that, you could break up and you could be really bitchy about them.
Boom. Exactly.
I mean, if Ian did that to you, how would you feel about that?
Unsurprised. Also, there's one here about a dog that fell out of the sky.
Good new means of a term raining cats and dogs.
Oh, Alan Caddick, this is why we pay you the big bucks. Thanks for ringing.
Thank you.
Night. 0344 499 1000. Hello, Alexander.
Hello, I'm eating some watermelon slices. They're very delicious.
Good. Healthy. They're good for you as well. Very nutritious.
Indeed.
Do you eat the seeds or do you spit them?
Sorry, what was it? Seeds. I ate the seeds, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it does any harm.
I've really had my appendix out, but it's grown back by now. So, basically, I'd like to talk to you about royalties tonight.
Why?
Because I'm Princess Diana's son.
Okay.
Diana, not Diana.
Okay.
From a different multiverse in the Multex.
All right, and how's that working out for you?
It's good, but I was Alexander the Great in this universe.
Yeah.
And currently I'm being held at Highgate Mental Health Clinic.
Uh-huh.
So I'd like a protest, please.
You'd like a protest?
Yeah, to get me out tomorrow.
What's happening tomorrow that you need to be out for?
I'm starting filming my movie with my father.
Right, okay. Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of plans.
I have a lot. Do you want me to just read some of them off to you? I've got, in fact, a whole bunch. One's TEEPEE24.com.
Oh, I remember this one.
And yeah, anybody who loses their job at the NHS is welcome to come and work for me.
Okay.
And let's see what else I've got. I've got a new Starship Enterprise movie.
Yeah. And what happens in that?
Q. You know who Q is?
Yeah,
LGBTQ.
Yeah.
Q is actually a member of Starfleet from the year 3000.
Right.
But he's 10,000 years old.
Right.
And he is working with the Borg to make sure that everybody is saved, because resistance is futile. The reason why resistance is futile, in fact, you know what's better? If I just read you the story right now.
Oh, I don't know whether we've got time for the whole story, because I bet it's a long one.
Well, it's only about 400 words.
All right, go on then.
Let me get it out. Okay. It began with... Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sorry, I thought you said it began with Kearney. I thought that was like a futuristic name, but I get, you know, I can hear you. Can you come a little bit closer, just so we can get the full...
It began with a silent crush of ice on the teeth of a shapeshifter.
Right.
Nothing scary, she's only just a giver of love. She trusted too many, and as a result, her world Vulcan was destroyed by Romulus.
Same.
From time to time, humans change their resemblance in order to protect themselves from enemies. Such is the case of the first humans who left Earth to protect themselves from the chemical dangers created by the Hadish. The Hadish are a dangerous group of individuals whose biggest enemy is the Borg. Soon the Borg will make peace with all life, as the Borg were created by the Vulcans, and the Borg Queen is mother of Spock, wife of Sarek. The reason why resistance is futile is because resistance ends in death. All Mother wanted to do was bring everybody back, including the humans who started this great war. The Hadish were the creation of Ultron of Atlantis. In order to stop the war, nanotechnology was modified to poison the dinosaurs, and an asteroid was magnetically pulled into Earth's atmosphere in order to save the Vulcans and the humans. If the humans would have waited until Zeus said it was okay to go to the planet, the war would have never started. But a few unruly humans decided they wanted to have sex with primates, and that was considered by Zeus to be rape.
Well,
and Lucifer
fell
with his co-conspirators, and Zeus was left in the heavens with his son Thor to plan the ultimate revenge against Loki, his brother, a.k.a. Lucifer. It wasn't only Zeus in heaven with Thor, it was his mother, his grandmother's mother, his grandmother's mother, and her mother too, and all the good Elohim. In order to survive in deep space, humans need to evolve. They evolved with the help of Ultron in Earth 679 in the Infinite Multex. Multex is an infinite number of universes, all connected via black holes and white holes. Black holes lead to dangerous universes, white holes lead to safe universes. And within each being, each universe, there exists another universe. Donald J. Trump's grandson, Jonathan Archer, was instrumental in creating the United Federation of Planets of Vulcans. His daughter, Tiffany, marries Alexander Newton.
Gosh.
And their child is Jonathan Archer.
Is that the end, or is that... That sounds like it's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning. That's how much I've written so far, but I wrote it today in 45 minutes.
I bet. Well, it's good that you keep them busy in there.
Now, I'd just like to really make sure that everybody knows that I have a job for everybody, when Brexit happens. So there's no need to worry about Brexit. In fact, go and vote for Brexit.
Okay, right. That'll do. Thank you very much, Alexander. 0344 499 1000. I mean, we can't really have people recruiting for various companies on this show. Mostly because you guys are mine. And if anyone's going to be putting you to work, it will be me. Hey, Giselle.
Hi, Catherine.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for the single.
Are you welcome? I take it you haven't listened to it, if you're still thanking me.
I have listened to it once. Inside.
That's probably enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
For now, you've got to keep it special.
Well, yeah, you know, and we are very pleased with the Platinum membership card.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. So number 52.
Right, that's the first couples-based Platinum membership card we issued. So you are going to have to stay together, or there will be quite a fiercely contested custody battle I can see on the horizon. That's all I'm going to say to you, Giselle.
I will let him know. We would have to... get a guillotine right through the card. That would be horrific.
Or draw up some kind of agreement now while you're still friends.
How are you?
I'm all right. You haven't rung for ages. What's been going on with you?
Well, you know, new relationship and that, you know.
Oh God,
things
busy,
good in personal life, you know. But I'm a bit frustrated at the minute. I've had a migraine for like most days in the last sort of maybe 3 weeks, and it's been driving me a little bit spare.
Yeah.
So that's been, and I'm not entirely sure why, and so I have to kind of come off any medication that might be causing it, which has the potential to cause more.
Yeah.
And then review it without anything to prevent it, and then kind of go through that and figure out any triggers, which is difficult. So that's been fun, and I'm also waiting to hear back about a job, which I'm supposed to hear back about this week. And it's like one more day this week in terms of a working week, and I'm kind of trying not to stress.
Yeah. And this is the thing, right? People don't ring back when they say they will these days. That's something I've noticed, especially with jobs.
Well, I've been told I'll hear back either way.
Right.
But it would further my professional development, which would be quite beneficial because there are certain limitations I have on what I can do professionally at the moment, and it would be kind of quite good to further that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just kind of...
This is the thing, you start to imagine yourself in it, don't you, and you just want them to let you know whether it's going to happen or not.
Yeah, either way would be good to know. Yeah. You know, I'm not exactly bad, I'm just kind of...
It's there at the back of your mind.
Yeah, I'm just kind of going, you know.
Is it somewhere nearby? Are you going to have to move or what?
No, it's somewhere I've worked before, but it's all kind of changed hands. So, like, I know people. So that was interesting going for an interview because I really didn't know how to pitch it because I knew, I know people, but I don't know everyone.
Right.
So I kind of have to play a certain professional line, but obviously I have connections there that I know people personally and stuff, so it's an interesting one.
And the way you left it, I take it you didn't, like, smash the place up on the way out and give them all the bird?
No, and anybody that I may have felt that inclined towards has left, so that's positive, yeah.
Okay.
So.
I mean, I've been in jobs before where I fantasised about that, especially when you know you're going and you're going somewhere else. I fantasised about the victory dance I would do and the, you know, sliding down the banisters while flipping them all off, that whole thing, and slamming the door. But actually what tends to happen is I burst into tears and tell them all how fantastic they are and how much I'm going to miss them. And that kind of is the truth for the most part. Do you know what I mean? You know, when you work with some people day in, day out, there's always going to be stuff. But actually... when it comes down to it, it's frightening moving on somewhere else.
It is. You kind of have to leave being the bigger person, though, don't you?
Yeah.
You kind of have to kind of be like, I'm going to be better than you today, or better than what I intended to be, at least,
when
I woke up this morning, you know.
I know what you mean. And while the fantasy is delicious and keeps you going for the, well, 3-4 weeks, however long it is, you have to sort of serve your time, when it comes down to it, you don't want to be that person. It hasn't happened yet. Let's see. Let's see, because I've got some excellent routines worked out.
it's still time.
Thanks, Giselle. Nice to hear from you. Good luck. Let me know when you get when they get back to you. And they better get back to you. Hi, Mark.
1 second, sorry, Kath.
Oh, sorry. What, have I caught you doing something you shouldn't be?
No, I was just doing a tweet.
All right, hang on a minute. Tell you what, we'll go and do some adverts and come back and you can tweet in absolute comfort.
Thanks.
All right, crack on.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. You never know just where the conversation will take you. On Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Amy will ring you back and you can talk about whatever you want. Mark was texting earlier on and we interrupted him, but hopefully he's done his life admin now. Mark?
Hi.
Hiya. Was it a good one?
I'm sorry.
Oh, I can see your tweet. First day back at work. Wasn't interesting. Good to be back.
With a horrible picture.
But it's a good hat.
It's not even mine. It was one of the people I look after. He just got back from, like, Germany, which he brought back with him.
It's a good hat. It's like a fur trapper's hat.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. You got those flaps, keep your ears warm. Don't mock.
I'm not mocking.
No, you're not. Go on, tell me about your first day back then.
So, we've been doing interviews for new staff.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that don't actually turn up to an interview and don't call to say we're not coming is ridiculous.
Mm. So what, you sat there like a lemon?
Yeah.
How many people did turn up out of the... And how many people were supposed to turn up and how many people did?
So we were meant to have 10.
Yeah.
And 3 turned up.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was this position that you'd advertised?
It was just a support worker role.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Here's the thing, that's the sort of role that you need to be really enthusiastic and dedicated, and if you can't be bothered to turn up for the interview, it's probably not for you, is it? Maybe it's done you a favour.
I think it has, but a lot of them was probably just people that have applied on Indeed, just to kind of say they've applied for jobs.
Right.
That's the feeling I'm getting.
Yeah. My mum used to work in a hotel, and she said that would happen when they were sort of advertising housekeeping jobs, for example. She said, and then some people would turn up and they'd, like, not had a wash and they were wearing tracksuits and stuff. So, obviously, they would just come in to say that they'd been for an interview.
Yeah.
But...
So, I've been meaning to ring up for a while, but I just haven't had the chance.
Come on.
So, I wouldn't... Because, obviously, Ian normally says I kill the vibes.
Yeah, we haven't even managed to crank up the vibe yet. So...
Yeah, so, what I was going to say to him, did you get my present? And then he was going to say, what present? I was going to say, the jar of good vibes I sent you.
Aha! It was an imaginary present.
Yeah. But what I wanted to say, isn't it strange, like, when you do go... So, I knew one of the candidates today. And from what I know him to actually his interview person, it was totally different.
Really? Was he talking posh?
Yeah, he was talking posh. Because he's one of these people who normally says, hey, up, duck. It was like, hello there. I was like, this is very strange.
Did you go with it or did you call him out?
No, I went with it and then I texted Master and said, what the beep was that?
How did he do apart from the poshness?
Well, he got the job, which was very strange because he spoke really, really posh. So when he actually does come to, like, an induction and he starts talking how he normally does, they're going to have a shock.
Well, force him to continue in this character for the rest of his career.
Yeah, that would be funny. Because I know some of the people that we support would rip him to sheds talking like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they take the mickey out of everyone, though, don't they?
Yeah, they know, like, no ways and graces with them.
No.
Or they would probably just take the mick out of him talking like that.
So are you working tonight, and are you still doing the same thing where you have to sleep over?
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've had a good shift. It's been an interesting 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have your clients made you feel welcome?
Yep. It was quite nice, actually. One of them that doesn't normally talk to me,
yeah,
he said it's nice. I've only been off for 4 days. I had to put some manual leave in, and he said to me, it's nice to have you back.
Ah.
Because they've had some cover in, and I don't think they like them.
All right. So, comparison to the others, you're good, but the rest of the time, he's going to continue taking the mick out of you.
Yeah. That's normal.
Oh, well, it's nice to hear from you, Mark.
And you.
And not just because everyone else has been rubbish either. Nice to hear from you. 0344 499 1000 if you want to give us a ring. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello, what's going on now?
I know. I'm going to bring the show down again.
No, you're not, because you're going to tell me you've done something.
Oh, I wound somebody up over the shop.
No, that you've done something to make your world a bit bigger.
What? I told one of the girls.
No. Chris, come on, we've had this conversation. What is this, the third time?
Well, I the only thing I said to her.
No. Not that conversation. The conversation about you only ringing us up when you've done something to sort out the problems that you are kind of using this show to vent about.
No, I don't.
Oh, Chris, come on. Listen, I would be more than happy, right, to get you some phone numbers. I'll even do the phoning up for you and get them to ring you. But I've got the feeling that at the moment you just tell them all to bog off.
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
All right, then. So if I get in contact with someone who can help you a bit more with sort of getting out and about and finding your way around to places, and so you can be a bit more confident and come to things, you know, like when we're going to do the show near you and you were going to come and then...
I didn't come to your show in Bath.
Yeah, because
back in the summer.
Yeah, because you...
I shied away.
Yeah, so...
I did.
Should we change it?
Bloody hell.
Just say yes and I'll get someone to ring you up. But if you turn them down, I won't do anything else for you because you need to do this for yourself.
I was gutted that I didn't...
I know you were. So how do we make sure that doesn't happen again?
Well, you said you got a show down in Cardiff. I'm not going to come.
You're going to come or no?
Pardon?
You're going to come?
I'd like to.
Okay, so how are you going to make it happen?
I'd be mugged in Cardiff twice.
Yeah, how are you going to make it happen? You know, because bad things have happened to a lot of people. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen again. Come on, Chris, seriously, I'm really rooting for you because I want you to make a change because otherwise we're going to have to stop talking.
Oh, I know, you're right, Dan, man. I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Okay, but we're talking about you, Chris. So.
No, it's not about me.
Yeah,
it's about everybody
else. No, it is. This one's about you. This is about you, Chris. Are you going to make the phone call or am I going to do it for you? What's going to happen?
What do you mean? I know. I wish I was there. Oh, I brought
Chris,
the show down again.
No,
now,
you haven't.
I?
You haven't. But do you know what? Do you know what's frustrating?
What?
I've said something to you really simply twice now, and it's the same conversation we had yesterday and the one the day before.
Yeah.
And you dodge it. How? Right. What are we going to do so that going outside isn't frightening for you anymore?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so what are we going to do about it? Shall I get someone who can give you some support? Or are you going to do it? Because you used to work there, right?
Pardon?
You used to work in that field, didn't you? Or was that a story?
It's not a bloody story.
Okay, was it true then? And is that why you won't phone them?
Yeah.
Okay, so phone them. And then let me know. All right, Chris.
Sorry, Catherine.
No, you don't need to apologise. No. Don't apologise. Do something. You can do this, Chris. 03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. That's kind of all I can say, isn't it? 03444991000. Hello, Pat and Clive.
Hi.
Hiya.
What are you doing? Oh. And how come I'm getting double teamed tonight?
Well, do you want to say, Clive?
Well, I've just picked up Pat from the open prison. He's been let out, finally. The whole Alan Titmarsh thing has been swept under the carpet to some degree.
We can't talk about it, Clive.
I know, his probation officer said that's all we can say, but
right.
Alan's all right.
Yes, he didn't suffer much.
I saw he's got a new thing out called 50 Shades of Green. Would that be something that you would know about?
Not really. 50 Shades of what, Kath?
Green, not grey. I know.
Green finger, Kath. I don't know.
I hope so.
Kath, how are you? It's been a while.
It has been a while. I remember you're dancing with glee. Do you still...
I know. Well, no, I wasn't allowed to dance in prison, Kath, because it used to turn the men on. So that had to stop. So, but what we wanted... Oh, go on, Clive. Clive wants to say something, because, you know, I don't want to take over.
Come on.
He still gets pen pal letters from the screws, don't you, Pat?
Yes. Well, listen, tell Kath why we're ringing.
Well, we're actually in a day's inn, just outside of London, near Leicester.
Oh.
And we're gonna get the coach down.
Right, in about 20 minutes.
It's about 20 minutes. We're going to get the coach down. We're going to come into the studio.
Yeah.
And help you out, because you're a lady. You're only a lady, and there's all them buttons to press. And, you know, with Ian not being here, I think you might get a bit confused. What do you think, Pat?
Do you want me to come down and twiddle the knobs, Kath?
I thought we'd had a conversation about that through, like, legal letters.
Oh, sorry, Kath.
Yeah.
So, you want us to come down?
Yeah.
We'll be there in about an hour and a half.
Do you know where we are?
No.
Yeah, it's LBC, Leicester Square.
Right, write that down.
Leicester Square. And say,
London town.
Yeah, and say, they know all about it, it's all fixed, just go wafting in.
I've made some garlic scotch eggs, would you like me to bring you some?
Beautiful!
Oh, how did you make those, Clive?
I bought some eggs.
Yes.
Some sausage meat.
Yes.
And some garlic.
Oh.
And then I boiled the eggs.
Yeah.
Then I rolled them in the sausage meat.
Oh.
And then I broke up some digestive biscuits, rolled the egg and the sausage meat in the digestive biscuits, and then inserted bulbs of garlic.
Did you see Mary Berry do this?
Fanny Craddock.
Fanny. Listen, Kath, I'm moving in with Clive.
Oh, that'll be nice, won't it?
So yep. You can hear from us lot.
That would be lovely. When did you make it official, you two?
Well, we can't, because the DWP will be on to us.
I'm very sad at the moment, Kath, because my mum left me. You remember when I was ringing up to audition for Annie and I was dancing and stuff?
Yeah.
After that, my mum took my life savings and went off to Nigeria.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she met the... president's nephew,
right,
online on an email,
yeah,
and he was going to give her $30 million.
Oh, that's romantic.
So, I know. We're still looking for her, though. The British consulate are quite desperate now.
Yeah.
I've had to move up with Clive, and now I'm out of prison. He very kindly has taken me in, Kath. Yeah.
But that'll be nice, because she wasn't massively supportive of your dreams, was she?
Not at all, Kath. There's still another... I'm going to apply next year for... Britain's Got Talents, and I've definitely got plate spinning that I've got.
Memories.
Oh, can you stop this? My moment. Oh. It's a shush. Kath, is this nice?
It's lovely.
You're doing a great job, by the way.
Thanks very much.
Considering, you know, Ian's not there to do most of it.
Yeah, like, and the ovaries in that get in the way.
Oh, yeah.
You've still got them, then?
So far, so good. Last time I checked.
Excellent.
Still packing.
My problems haven't subsided.
Oh,
no. Is this your weakness?
My prolapse.
Oh, yes. But
now you've got someone who can punch you back up.
Oh, yeah. She's naughty, isn't she? Always has been.
Oh, she's naughty without Ian.
Clive got a prolapsed anus when he was in Morrison's.
Oh, no. How inconvenient. Which aisle?
I made a big splash instead.
Hey, I've heard that if you, if your waters go in John Lewis, they give you vouchers. How did it work out in Morrison's?
Not very good. I'm bad out of 437 stores. The trouble was, it was right next to the fish counter and I didn't notice for 3 hours.
What, they thought it was an eel?
Oh, Kath.
I know. Listen, while you're doing this, you're not coming over, so get in that cab or whatever you're doing. You're going to walk it. What are you going to do? Megabus?
We've got the coach coming.
I will ring you in about an hour and a half, Kath.
Brilliant. Can't wait to see you.
Okay, lots of love.
Bye. LBC, Leicester Square. Don't forget. 03444991000. That'll be nice, won't it, when they turn up. Hello, Alistair.
Ah, good evening, Kath.
What's going on with you?
Are you okay today?
I'm all right. It's weird being here on my own. And this office is very quiet, it turns out, when you can, like, I can go to and from the bathroom without someone jumping out at me. The air smells fragrant. Mm. You know, but I do miss the old fella.
Oh, well, indeed.
He'll be back.
And, because the end of the week, so I suppose you get a little bit more tireder towards the end of the week?
A bit, yeah. Mondays I'm normally fine. There's a gradual decline towards the end of the week, but I was lucky today. Well, right, here's the boring story. So, about 8:30, just as I was about to take my kids out to school, we get a message from the school saying that the water's out in both of them, and so the kids are off school today. Hooray! The stuff
well,
that dreams
the flooding
are made
of. Up the main
there. Sorry?
Was it the flooding or?
No.
Just no water?
Burst water main.
Oh, gosh.
So the kids are living the dream. There's no school today. It's like, this, you know, this, exactly like Christmas has come early. Thankfully, I don't do a proper job and I'm going to be around. I do wonder how the other mums and dads coped when they were sort of probably one foot out of the door. But anyway, so I had the kids this morning where normally what I do is I sleepwalk them to school and then get back in bed. Thankfully, my parents are now, well, my dad's retired, so he heard what had happened. He came over and rescued me and took the kids out for the afternoon, so I've had a decent kip. So I'm not feeling too bad,
brilliant.
But normally, by this time of the week, yeah, I'm absolutely cream-crackered.
Brilliant. Anyway, I want to congratulate you on your musical choice at the head of the show.
Oh, you haven't heard the rest of them yet, but go on.
Well, that one was all right. I've got the 12-inch of it.
Boasting now.
So, do you want to buy it off me?
No, me. I wouldn't want to part you from your 12 inches. It's very important. How long have you had that, then?
Oh, I bought it when it first came out.
Because it's a weird song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got elements of Midsummer in it, hasn't it, really? You know, sort of, you know, that kind of dancing around poles, and that's all about kind of... you know, spirits of the earth and everything. It's the safety dance. It's about being safe from the bad spirits, I think.
Right.
It's a good tune, though.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And how are you keeping today?
Yeah, not bad. What's been happening. So I've not been going to some meetings because I'm doing the thing where... with my depression, I tend to withdraw into myself a bit.
Yeah.
And, but that's kind of okay because what I can do is also, I'm wondering, same, similar to Ian, sort of recharge my batteries by, sort of dropping some of the other things in my life. So all I have to do is worry about, you know, getting out of the dressing gown and putting some clothes on, and I need to go and get the milk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've got to get organised tomorrow. I've got to go and see my brief tomorrow about things. So that'll be good to see what she's got to say. And everything else is fine. I'm hopefully going to get back on the horse, as it were.
But there's no rush.
Next week
there's no rush, is there?
No. Going to the meetings, and I normally go to 3 a week, so I'd like to get back on that thing.
Do you feel do you find that you start to miss it and you start to feel different?
Yeah, you tend to, certainly with me, you get such a, people in AA call it a medicine, the actual meeting itself, and when you stop going, that you tend to drift a little bit.
Yeah.
In your mind, so it's important I get back and do that thing. But
but at this point, it sounds like you're doing the right thing. In you know, first of all, make sure you're all right. Make sure you're not too tired, and that you're not overfaced with life, because that's not good.
Well, that's it. Anyway, I've got a childish thing to end with, Cass. If you'd like.
You astonish me. Go on.
It's very childish, okay, but and I think that you might. Kind of be aware of some of this working with Ian. Can I say farting?
Yep.
On the radio, it's an F word I actually can use. Right. Yes. I think that I want to nominate I don't know if any other listeners out there want to add to this. I want to nominate the worst smelling fart based on what I've eaten.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So what this is, and I know that Ian said he liked his Brussels the other night, Brussels sprout crisps.
I didn't realise there was such a thing.
Yeah. Made by a very prominent crisp manufacturer.
Right. And do they taste like... What do they... they taste like Brussels sprouts?
Well, there's a little taste of Brussels sprout. They come in like a Christmas pack, so it's got like turkey and bacon flavour and this flavour, and it's got Brussels sprout flavour. But the smell of the wind, after I've eaten the crisp, is absolutely horrendous, Kath.
Well, thanks for the warning.
So, I mean, it's got the two worst things. I mean, crisps, in their own right, you know, bad wind. And then obviously you've got the sprout essence going on as well.
Gosh, that stuff must be super concentrated. Well, thanks for sharing. I mean, not literally, because it sounds like sharing in this case is not caring. But thanks for letting me know, because those crisps sound like a lot of fun, but the fun has to be bought and paid for, and it sounds like that people around you will be the ones paying.
Yeah, anyway, I have two great shows. And,
thanks very much, Alistair. Thank you. Take care. 0344-499-1000. I mean, that was a delightful topic he threw out there, pumped out there for you. If you'd like to join in with that, I mean, feel free. 0344-499-1000. I mean, for instance, I cannot eat pesto. So, there's mine. 0344-499-1000.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
All right, let's get one of these stories in before we go completely off the beaten track again, because Daniel's on the phone waiting, and we know how Daniel's calls go. Toddler becomes so obsessed with mannequin head, he even sleeps with it after mum gave it to him to play with her hair. A mum's plan, this is in the Sun online if you want to read along with Kath tonight. A mum's plan to get her son to sleep by playing with her hair backfired as he's now obsessed with a creepy mannequin head. Ilani Clark had always let 14-month-old Harry play with her hair while drifting off. Ah, the things you do because you think, I have the trick now. I am the baby whisperer. And then you realise that's you locked in until they're about 18. Ilani Clark had always let 14-month-old Harry play with her hair while drifting off, but was forced to find an alternative when she started getting headaches. What, through letting him play with her hair? He must have been flipping yanking it. After appealing to her pals online, the 22-year-old was offered a spare doll's head with the same length and colour mane as hers by a friend who is a trainee hairdresser. It wasn't long before Harry became attached to the head, which he's named Baba, insisting on sleeping with it in their bed and taking it out with him. I mean, can you imagine the horrific sight of this kid toddling along, dummy in mouth, dragging his head behind him? It's like a human-sized head, dismembered head. But Ilani from Sunderland is terrified of it, often thinking someone was in the room with them. She's even accidentally kissed Baba goodnight, mistaking it for her son. Ilani has one kid with Callan McKay, 21, said, right, Sunderland. In our bed, there's me, Callum, Harry and the doll's head. It's given me a few frights in the middle of the night. For the first couple of nights, I shouted, Callum, there's someone in the room. We've both done it. Harry carries it around everywhere he goes. He won't eat his breakfast or his meals unless the doll is with him. We went to go into town on Monday and I said, come on, we'll go in the car. And he was halfway through the door with it. I refused to take the doll's head with me and he had an absolute meltdown and screamed. I had to distract him with something else. I've given the doll a kiss by accident instead of Harry. It takes about half an hour to get back to sleep because you get such a shock. I mean, it is a hideous thing. The mum added, it started because Harry wouldn't settle unless he was twiddling with me hair. He's done it since he was a baby. I couldn't leave him with his dad because he doesn't have any hair to play with and he just wouldn't sleep at all. A week ago, I put something on Facebook saying I needed some help because I constantly had a headache and couldn't sleep because he was pulling me hair out in the night. And people commented on Facebook and said to get like a baby Annabelle or some extensions. But I didn't think it would work. And then one of my friends messaged me saying she had a spare hairdressing doll if I wanted to try it. The doll hair is the same colour and length as mine and I don't think he notices it's any different. He took to it straight away. He absolutely loved it. And then he started getting weirder. Do you know I can hear exactly what you're talking about through there? Because this is not soundproof. Having a good time out there. Despite being freaked out by the mannequin, Ilani admits it's having a great result. She said, at the weekend, my partner's mum rang me and he'd fallen asleep on his own. He's never done that. I normally have to rock his pram to go to sleep. I've tried everything to get him to fall asleep on his own, but yesterday he got on the sofa, got his doll head and fell asleep for an hour and a half. That's the secret. Get a creepy hairdressing doll. He does normally sleep through the night, but last night it was a nightmare. I took the doll head off him. Can you imagine? Because I don't let him sleep with it while I'm asleep in case the hair goes round his neck. Okay. He woke up and noticed and then screamed for about 3 hours. Flipping heck, right? I've told you about the kid that used to live in our street that had basically a stuffed baby grow with a load of pot towels shoved down it. And that was her baby. And that was the thing she would not be parted from. And I can imagine her parents thought it was all a jolly jape when they first did it. And then that became the thing she became attached to. And it was a little bit creepy, I'm going to say it. So weird kid obsessions, if you've got any of those, give me a ring. 03444991000. Things that you thought would be a passing phase that kind of stuck. Because you can buy them the most expensive, the most beautiful things in the world. And you know they're going to prefer the box. Or they're going to prefer the thing that is absolutely pug ugly. 03444991000. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Cass. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. And how are you this fine evening?
I'm all right, too. I'm planning to do a hair test on Specsavers.
All right, yeah.
They do a free test.
Why are you concerned about your hearing?
Yeah, because my right ear is with a bit ear impairment. So, but I think it's like one third of the other one. But
and how long has it been like that?
Sometime now, so a few months.
You don't think there's something down there, do you?
Say again, sir.
You don't think there's something down there?
Maybe a bit of wax.
Wax, yeah. Or a spider? You've not had Tic Tacs, have you?
No. Okay. No. But the thing is, I wanted to talk about knife crime.
All right, okay.
So I think a lot of the crime that happens could be prevented if people use a smartwatch, and the smartwatch was connected with the Metropolitan Police. So the thing is, you would have an app, like a Metropolitan Police app, and if you had the app, you could switch it on, and the police would know where you are, would be tracking you all the time.
Yeah.
So they would advertise on radio, on the media, they would say, download the Metropolitan Police app, and then with the app you could say if you are feeling afraid, how much, on a scale from 1 to 10, how safe are you feeling. If you feel very safe, you put 10.
Yeah.
And then the police would know, oh, this place, maybe then, and they could know other people that are being tracked with the app. They could know where they are feeling safe, where they are feeling dodgy. And also Skype, you know, is a great technology, but should be better in helping us connect with our neighborhoods.
Right. So is this something that would make you feel better, Daniel? Is it something you worry about?
Yeah, I do. Especially with missing people, is something that touches me very deep down inside.
What, because you're worried you might go missing?
Also, but mainly I think is tragic. Sometimes I would just go to the missing people website to see if I could help find people.
Yeah.
Because like every day there's someone that disappears. And if everyone was being tracked with this Metropolitan Police app, I mean, not everyone, but you could just download the app.
You can opt in. I see a little problem with it, Daniel. In that, if you're wearing an expensive smartwatch, then surely you're more of a target for the baddies.
No, only the police would be getting this data, and you would be willing to participate.
Right.
So, And the other thing is, like, imagine you are online and you want to prove to the website that you are who you say you are and that you are where you say you are.
Yeah.
So the website has no way of knowing that you are who you say you are.
What,
and that
what kind of website do you mean? Like, what, Amazon or ASOS or something?
Imagine the website just wants to know that is really you and that you are really where you... Imagine you are in the British Library.
Yeah.
And you have to prove to the website that you are there and that you are who you say you are.
Okay.
You could have Uber or taxi driver.
All right, yeah, that makes sense.
The Uber would come and you would scan the driver's iPhone QR code. And then, once you scan this code, you can prove to the website that you are really who you say you are and that you are where you say you are. But the thing is, with smartwatches, I don't know if the police actually tracks them. I don't know.
I don't think they do. I don't think they're allowed to unless they get special, like, very special permission because you're, I don't know, like, super baddie or something.
Yeah, but they are the police.
You're not a super baddie, though, are you, Daniel?
They must have secrets, isn't it? They must have lots of secrets.
I'm sure they do, but I don't...
The thing is, I think one day we will have GPS trackers that are so small, like the size of a grain of rice, that you can put them in knives. In knives, and then... You can track where the knives are and who is with a knife because, you know, you could put a GPS tracker in a shoe or in a knife and you could track people or in the car.
But who's gonna do that, though? The police are going to do that or you decide that you want to do that? Cause...
You can buy on eBay for 50 quid. 50 pounds, you can buy a GPS tracker that you attach to the, it snaps magnetically snaps below the car. And so if you are, have a partner that may be cheating you or something, you can just buy this on eBay, a GPS tracker, and you put below the car.
I'm not sure I like that one, Daniel.
I think everyone should it should be everyone, there should be tracked and it would be completely public.
Okay.
Like with a Twitter thing, like everyone could know. Because thing is, if I love you, I have the right to know where you are. And if I hate you, I also have the right to know where you are.
Okay, Daniel, well that opens a whole scary window on your mind. 0344-499-1000. Manny, we've got like 2 minutes. 1 minute 15.
Well, they'd not have turned it up. What he was on about?
Well, I think what he was on about is putting a tracker in everyone and everything.
I know. Anyway, RNIB.
Yes.
Right. They do a where they take him and it's a living thing, and they would teach him all skills and everything for listen, what's the name that goes from Wales?
You know this. I know this. I suspect Chris knows this. He's got to make the phone call, hasn't he?
Yeah, so he's got to help himself, hasn't he? I do feel sorry for him.
I do.
You know, I was in that situation. You and Ian really, really helped me. But he's got to help himself like I did a little bit, you know, Ian.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time before it clicks with him.
Sometimes you don't want to help. You do, but you don't.
Yeah, it's intimidating, I bet.
It is, but, you know, like, and sometimes you want to do it, but then you don't want to do it. I mean, you're not in that position to understand really.
No,
that
I know. I get
deep,
it.
You know what I mean?
I get it. Manny, it's always lovely to hear from you. I'm all right, thank you. I've got to go.
Good.
Nice to hear
from
you.
Hello, Ian.
He'll be listening as he drifts off to sleep. Take care of yourself, Manny.
Thank you.
03444991000.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. You never know just where the conversation will take you. On Talk Radio.
I can hold you now.
03444991000. This is the Late Night Alternative. I'm your alternative host. Ian Lee is taking a couple of days off, but we'll keep it as, you know, close to what you're used to as possible. I'm here normally all the time anyway, so I kind of know the drill. 03444991000. My name is Catherine Boyle. I'll be with you today and tomorrow and next week and the week after, and hopefully for as long as they'll put up with us. But I'd love to hear from you tonight. 03444991000. So earlier on, I talked to you about the toddler who has become very attached to a mannequin head. The other stories I have for you are pretty gruesome. There's one about doctors telling you not to misuse your electric toothbrush, ladies. You know what I'm talking about. As if we need reminding of these things, and as if you're going to listen if that's where you're at the moment. We've also got a story of a fat cat. We all like a story of a fat cat, right? All right, here's one for you. Russian airline Aeroflot is facing a PR catastrophe over its decision to strip air miles from a passenger who fooled the carrier into allowing his beloved chubby Moggy to travel business class. Criticisms have gone viral on social media with attempts to drag Vladimir Putin into the dispute. By the way, this isn't like what the whole show is going to be about. We've already had a conversation about tracking everybody. Daniel, who reckons if he loves you, he should be able to know exactly where you are at all times. Likewise, if he hates you. We've also talked to poor Pat and Clive. Clive suffered a prolapsed anus in Morrison's near the fish counter and no one noticed. I mean, it goes from medical to criminal justice. It goes all over the place. It's a very serious program. 03444991000. You can talk about whatever you want. I don't know how many times I've got to spell that out. I mean, just listen to the callers, for goodness sake. Criticisms have gone viral on social media with attempts to drag Vladimir Putin into the dispute. Mikhail Galin, 34, cheated Aeroflot's cabin weight rules by using a cat double called Phoebe as a stand-in for his pet Victor after the animal was deemed too heavy and faced being made to travel on an 8-hour flight in the hold. Once he'd checked in, he swapped the cats, and 22-pound Victor, 22 pounds, Victor travelled with him in comfort from Moscow to Vladivostok. The flyer confessed to the ploy. This is his mistake, bragging about it on social media. The flyer confessed to the ploy on social media, but Aeroflot failed to see the funny side of it and took their revenge by stripping him of almost 370,000 air miles and annulling him from their frequent flyer program. I mean, that seems very harsh. Yeah, okay, he's a chancer, but flipping heck, his air mile. This move has gone down badly with Russians, who seem united in a campaign backing Victor and portraying him as an aviation hero. Twitter and Instagram are awash with memes mocking the airline and trending hashtags like Fly Victor or I/we are fat cat and bro is not luggage. Today Aeroflot is after the fat cat, tomorrow it might be you, travellers were warned. A cartoon by Elkin for Svoboda showed an Aeroflot plane as a dog angrily chases Victor the cat down the runway. One meme showed the airline Soviet-style sickle logo converted into a chubby cat. They're really going for the jugular with this one. Others rekindled old Aeroflot advertisements and used Victor to attack the airline. Victor was seen in a mugshot with the sign Aeroflot Bonus, the airline's air miles program. Rival airlines are depicted as far more cat-friendly. As the story catapulted into the headlines, an exasperated Dmitry Peskov, spokesman for the president Vladimir Putin, found himself under pressure to judge the behaviour of the state-owned airline. I don't think that the Kremlin can and must in any way comment in the situation with the cat and the plane, he said. But you're commenting on it. Aeroflot is seen to have overreacted to the cat being 2 kilograms over its weight limit. The airline could have had a PR triumph if they'd forgiven Victor's owner and offered the cat free membership at a pet gym, said one comment. MPs joined the tirade, demanding a rule change and pointing out that Galin had offered to pay extra for Victor to fly with him. The owner of the Moscow Cat Theatre, which has entertained generations of Russian children, a cat theatre, said Aeroflot's action was a violation of animal rights. When cats feel the owner is nearby, they feel calm, even during the takeoff and landing, he said, demanding the rules are revamped. Companies are seeking to use famous Victor to promote their own taxi and banking services. He's become a thing. Galin, who feared Victor would die in the hold on such a long flight, admitted he was punished by the airline, but said he'd broken the rules, which do not allow pets over 8 kilograms or 17 pounds in the cabin. I'm wrong in this situation, he said. The law is harsh, but it is the law. I broke the rules, and the airline has the right to take measures in response. He said on Moskva 24, the transport company decides for itself how to punish a passenger in this situation. This is the step they chose, and let it be so. I can't have any claims here. In future, he would fly an airline that is convenient for me, he said. Meanwhile, aha! So this is the first thing that would happen, I think, on Twitter in the US and in this country. And I wonder whether it was the first thing that happened actually over there. He denied overfeeding Victor. This is the thing, right? First of all, people go, oh, why is your cat that big anyway? Saying the pet's weight was genetic. Ah, big bones. The airline said Aeroflot has taken the decision to take this passenger out of its frequent flyer program. All of the miles collected during his time in the program will be annulled. Do not mess with Aeroflot, or you will pay the consequences and it will be your air miles. 0344 499 1000 if you want to give me a ring. This is a late on night alternative. I am Catherine Boyle. The switchboard is completely free because we're waiting for you. Give us a shout.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. You never know just where the conversation will take you. On Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000 is the number to call. Good God, what goes on in these studios when we're not on? This tweet that's sent to Dan Wooten. Meghan Markle, the malignant narcissist, regrets nothing. This was her plan all along. She throws away her own parents. No way she'd respect the Queen in England. Both received her with open arms and generosity. In return, she spit on them. Hashtag Megxit. Are we talking about some family's plans for Christmas and how that is somehow disrespectful to Queen and country? Because you need to get a hobby, mate. What the hell? 0344 499 1000. All this stuff with Meghan Markle. Someone that none of us know. Someone that none of us know is never going to be queen, is married to someone who is kind of the spare and he's getting further and further down the line. Unless something awful happens, and heaven forbid, he's never going to have to assume that responsibility, which would mean that you owned him. And he's kind of made that clear. And people are going for his wife. I find it so bizarre. And you can bet this person would be going on about Princess Diana like she was some kind of saint, but at the same time slamming someone who just happened to marry someone in the royal family, but, you know, very loosely so. But bizarre, just bizarre. But, you know, I suppose it takes the heat off Kate Middleton because now she's been elevated to sainthood because you can only like one woman at a time in the public eye, obviously. 0344 499 1000 if you want to talk about that. We can talk about whatever you want. I'm trying to convince Harrison to come on. Not that he normally needs much coaxing, has to be said. But he is asking me to do a cinder block update. You know about cinder block, right? We talked about that fat cat that managed to chance its way onto an Aeroflot flight and was boasted about to the point where now he's lost his owner all his air miles. Well, you know about cinder block, right? Cinder block is a massive cat. We're talking massive. That became a meme when it was shown doing exercises. Because it needs to lose some weight. It's dangerously overweight. And it was all over Twitter at one point. And of course, everyone sort of weighed in, saying, why is this cat so massive? Well, there's a really sad story about that. Do you know the sad story of Cinderblock? All right, let me tell you. And people have started to really identify with Cinderblock because he does not like exercise at all, but he's got to do it. The first thing I found, CNET.com. Cinderblock, the fat cat who hates workouts, pours her way into the world's heart. Cinderblock is a 25-pound Russian blue cat who recently was brought to North Shore Veterinary Hospital in Bellingham, Washington, to be euthanized because her owner could no longer care for her. But medical director and veterinarian Brita Kifney just couldn't do it and got the owner's permission to keep the kitty, CNN reports. Kifney and staff are now trying to help the cat lose excess pounds safely. representatives for the hospital didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. They were too busy probably trying to lift this thing out of the cage. Cinder, as the hospital is nicknamed her, sorry, Cinder Block for misgendering you, first gained fame for a 13-second Facebook video where she's seen on an underwater treadmill. The water makes it easier on her joints, the hospital says. But instead of throwing herself into the workout, Cinder is seen lackadaisically pouring the treadmill with one foot while wailing. It's a very similar picture when I go to the gym. That video has been watched more than 2.4 million times, probably more by now, and it's easy to see why. Who hasn't whined their way through a workout or wanted to? I feel your pain, girl, wrote Meryn Gadman on Facebook. This is how I feel at 5 a.m. walking in the rain. Lisa Hine wrote, looks like me complaining but still going along with the program. Well, sometimes I go along with the program. Since she splashed onto the scene, Cinder's made a name for herself on Facebook and Instagram with her relatable regime. Some mornings she doesn't want to wake up even for food. Oh, God, I hear you, Cinder. Although she doesn't, she does like her feather toy. Don't miss the massive toppling over at the end of this workout. Cinder in action. We're encouraging. There's loads of clips, basically, of this adorable but massive cat. Oh, they're making a thing of it now. On Sunday, Cinder donned a Seattle Seahawks cheerleading uniform for a video. Right, dressing up cats. They don't like it, do they? They don't like it. I bought a set of bat wings for my kitten for Halloween, knowing full well she would not like it at all, but I thought, we'll stick them on if she'll let me. We'll take a picture, we'll take them off. The end. I mean, it's what Twitter was made for. She probably tolerated it. My eldest daughter managed to coax her into it with treats, and then we took it off within about 10 seconds because she just hated it. So how they've got this thing into a Seattle Seahawks cheerleading uniform, I take it it's because she finds it more difficult to get away. So they're starting to use it as a kind of meme now. Cinder's fans find inspiration and entertainment in the cat's workout journey. Cinder Block is Twitter's cat now, wrote one Twitter user. I don't make the rules. Another declared that Cinder Block might have just broke the chonk chart. Hefty cats are having a moment. A private Facebook group called This Cat is Chonky has more than 455,000 members who share photos and discuss the felines. Refers to Facebook. I haven't been on Facebook for ages. To be honest, it's a website that drives me absolutely spare. Let's have a look, though. This cat is chonky. Sounds like something I need to be involved in. Is C-H-O-N-K-Y. Here we go. I don't have to join, do I? I don't want to join. You do have to join. No chonk shaming. This is the rules. No chonk shaming. The ultimate sin. No owner shaming, be nice, don't do politics or medical advice, admin mods are here to help. Right, so why is Cinder Block so massive? Here's the sad story. Here we go, let me find this for you because it's really tragic. Here we go. Hang on. Don't want to get this right. Here we go, right. So, Cinderblock's previous owner couldn't take care of her any longer and had brought the 8-year-old. We've done this bit, haven't we? Cinderblock's owner had dementia and couldn't remember when she'd fed her or not, basically. So kept feeding the cat. That's the tragic backstory to Cinder Block, who's now become a meme. Kiffney also, this is the vet, attributes Cinder Block's newfound viral fame to how much people relate with not wanting to exercise. She hopes Cinder Block's plight inspires people to keep their pets healthy. We're hoping to raise awareness of pet obesity, as nearly 60% of pet cats are either overweight or obese, Kiffney said. Many people do not realise their pet is overweight. See this, right? This kitten I've got is a British short hair. And apparently they are prone to eating too much. So I'm already watching her and making sure. They're very round cats anyway. Very round cats. But you've got to be really careful. And because she's not going out yet, she's not going to be spayed till the 10th of December. So she can't go out. Although she is pouring at that window. She is pouring at the window. This is not an indoor cat. I can already tell. And apparently they're excellent mousers. So I'm going to get some real treats when she does go out. But I'm concerned that, you know, she's so adorable. My kids are prone to treat. And we have to be very, very strict with her already. So Yeah, fat. This is the thing about fat pets. It's kind of as cruel as not feeding them enough, isn't it? If you get them so big that they're ill. 0344 499 1000. I'm going to get Chait's Fate for you. Shall we do that? All right, well, can we take a little break while I nip out and get the Chait's Fate? Because I think the time has come for the big guns.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. The plot thickens, right? Chait's Fate, my favourite publication, keeping me abreast of all the latest news from the world of the supernatural, has disappeared. I had the brand new one in its packet. I hadn't touched it. I was going to unveil it on this show, as has become kind of tradition. And I think someone snaffled it. So we can go back through the annals, and it is pronounced annals. Let's go to November 2019. If you want to join in, you can interrupt me whenever you like. I'm not precious about this, but this is going to be amazing. Chait's Fate is one of the best things ever. 0344 499 1000. That's 0344 499 1000. Here we go. My three-year-old son predicted my death. Strap in, guys. This is going to be a hot one. Sitting in the living room, watching telly, I cuddled my three-year-old son, Michael, as he sat on my lap. In fact, hang on, let's make a meal of this. Let's make a meal of this. We need some spooky music, or let's not do it at all. Here we go. Haunted Realms of Halloween. This is the one. Swamp Witch. Oh no, this can't be it. Hang on, what's going off here? You shush, talking heads. Right, here we go, Halloween. Yes, mate, this is the one. Sitting in the living room watching telly, I cuddled my three-year-old son, Michael, as he sat on my lap. The youngest of my three children, we'd always had a special bond. Suddenly he turned to me. His big blue eyes were filled with fear and worry. "What will you do when you die next Wednesday, Mummy?" he asked me. My mouth fell open with shock. Where had that come from? "Oh, Michael, don't say that," I gasped. "Of course Mummy's not going to die." But he still looked really worried, bless him. When my husband Tommy got home from work that evening, I told him what Michael had said. "Maybe he's psychic," Tommy joked. "Perhaps he knows something we don't." "Don't be silly," I laughed. After all, I was a fit and healthy 30-year-old and had barely had a day's illness in my life apart from tonsillitis, and my tonsils had been removed in 1983, in case you were wondering. I didn't think anything more of it. I'd planning and packing to do. My sister was having the kids so that Tommy and I could go to a family party in Rochdale that weekend. We were staying the night with Tommy's uncle and then driving back the next day. I didn't get much time to myself as a busy mum of three, so I was really looking forward to it. But on the Saturday morning, I woke up with a stiff neck. Probably just slept funny, I thought to myself. But the drive up to Rochdale seemed to take forever, and the further we got, the more my neck ached. Tommy doesn't drive, so I was the one behind the wheel, and by the time we got to Rochdale, I wasn't in the mood for partying anymore. But I plastered a smile onto my face and tried to look like I was having a good time for Tommy's sake. I barely slept a wink that night, and I woke up in agony the next morning. Tommy's uncle Brendan had cooked us a fry-up, but I felt so sick with pain I couldn't touch it. "I'm so sorry," I muttered. "Tommy, can we go home now?" If we didn't leave soon, I didn't know how I'd cope with a long drive home, and to this day, I don't actually know how I managed it. As soon as we got back to Coventry, I went to the emergency doctors in town. "It's tonsillitis," the doctor said. "It can't be," I sighed. "Oh, it can't be," I sighed. "I don't have any tonsils." "Well, it's just a stiff neck then. Does anyone else think this doctor's just guessing?" "Just take these painkillers and try to rest up." I knew he was wrong, but I didn't have the energy to argue. I picked up my prescription and went to fetch the kids from my sister. After another hellish night, I was too ill to take the kids to school. Tommy dropped them off and headed to work. I made an emergency appointment with my own doctor, and by the time I arrived, the skin on my neck felt as if it'd been scalded. My doctor diagnosed me with severe cellulitis and rang the ear, nose and throat department at my local hospital to book a bed for me on the ward. "I'll ring for an ambulance to take you straight away," she said. "I can't go now," I gasped, panicking. "There's no one to fetch the kids from school. I'll have to sort out some childcare before I can go to hospital." It took a few hours to find a sitter for the kids. My sister drove me to the hospital, only for us to find I wasn't exactly welcome. "I don't know why you've been sent here," the doctor sniffed. "You just need antibiotics, which your doctor could have prescribed for you." So, once again, I picked up the prescription he gave me and my sister drove me home. She's done that twice. That night was the worst of my life. I was in unbelievable pain, barely slept. This isn't a spooky story. This is a casualty story. Hang on, let's change this music at YouTube. Here we go. That's more like it. That night was the worst of my life. I was in unbelievable pain, barely slept at all. Next morning, Tommy took the kids to school and I decided to draw the curtains and see if I could have a little nap. The next thing I remember is my sister trying to wake me up. Drifting in and out of consciousness, I was only vaguely aware of what was happening as she somehow bundled me into the car and drove me straight to hospital. The journey was agony. Every jolt or bump sent shooting pains through my neck. I don't remember much after that until I woke up with a doctor looming over me. Looming over you, doing his job, having a look. "What's happened to me?" I asked weakly. "You've just come out of surgery," he said. "You had an abscess deep in your neck, was on the verge of bursting. Don't worry, we've drained it." Flipping heck, man. It's turned into Dr. Pimple Popper. No, we're not going to get the music for that. All I cared about was that the pain was finally under control. I drifted back off to sleep, and when I woke up, my sister was chatting to the doctor in my private room. The doctor was explaining what they'd found in my neck and how I treated it. They treated it. "Please let it be a twin. Please let it be a twin." Oh, here we go. Here's the first of the famous Chat is Fate subheadings. "Close to death." "It's a good job you got her in here when you did," was his parting shot. "If you'd left it any longer, the abscess would have been burst. She'd have been dead by tomorrow." It wasn't until I got home that I made the connection. Wednesday. The doctor said that I'd have been dead on Wednesday. Hang on a minute, let's get the spooky music back. Here we go. Wednesday. The doctor said I'd have been dead on Wednesday, just as my son had predicted. How had a three-year-old been able to sense that death was imminent for me and even get the day right? Maybe Tommy had been right. Maybe Michael really was psychic. That was 23 years ago. Michael is a young man now. He's always been sensitive, so I can't help but wonder if he's got a latent psychic talent that he could tap into as an adult. I've read about crystal and indigo children who have extra psychic gifts and are thought to be on Earth to raise us to a higher vibrational plane. And I do wonder if Michael was one of those. It still sends shivers down my spine every time I think of it, and I remember him looking at me with those big serious eyes. I'm just grateful that, thanks to the miracle of modern medicine, I'm still here to tell the tale. Perhaps the angels were looking out for me, as well as my own personal angel, Michael. Or perhaps that was another load of old bullshine from Chatty's Fake. I mean, kids say weird things, don't they? It's kind of their job. 0344 499 1000. Hello, Pat and Clive. Hang on a minute. Let me drag you in. Oh, hang on. Hang on. I've lost Pat and Clive. But maybe that's for the best because I did misdirect them, didn't I? Pat and Clive.
Hello.
Hello, Lord.
Hello.
How are you? Where are you? I'm looking out the window. I can't see you.
We're at LBC.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we're in the first full year.
You're in the first what?
The front bit, the full year.
Oh, yeah, the full year, yeah. And how are they treating you in there? They got you a coffee yet?
No, there's nobody about, and we've been asking for Kathy, flipping Kath.
and nobody's come yet. Pat's disappeared. He bought 12 yum-yums at the services and then disappeared. He's a greedy lad.
Yeah.
And anyway, I've got some breaking news for you.
Go on.
Kath. You know, Pat said he got out of prison.
Yeah.
He didn't. He broke out.
You busted him out.
He's on the lam.
Oh, my.
No, I didn't. He's on the lam. He crawled 2 miles under the sewers out of prison. Now, that accounts for the smell.
Yeah. Well, that and the Scotch eggs.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is it's an open prison. There's no gates or fences. He could have just walked out any time he wanted.
Yeah.
Here's Pat, shush.
Hi, Kat.
Hello, Pat.
I've just been in the toilet having a yum-yum.
Don't eat in the toilets. Especially when you... Well, have you washed your hands since you crawled out of the sewer?
No, of course I haven't. I just saw Tom Swarbrick, you know, the one that presents on LBC, and Tom... I said to him, you Lionel, would you like a yum-yum? And yeah, I think security's been called.
Tom Snowbrick, I know. He loves a yum-yum. I've heard that rumour.
Mm. What's happening? Are you the show?
Are you going to come down?
Yeah, I'll be down in a bit. Just make yourselves comfortable.
What?
Just make yourselves comfortable, Pat.
Pat, you open your sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And I'll get me flask of minestrone out. Don't be too long, because I'm quite sleepy now. It's been a long day.
I know. I bet you are, love. You just settle down there. I'll be down as quick as I can. I'm just a bit busy, like, with Chat It's Fate and, like, filling in loads of time because no one's ringing up and that.
You know the guy that answered the phone?
Yeah.
Is he on Grindr?
No. He's not. FetLife. He's on FetLife.
What's that?
Oh, Pat. It's a whole new world.
Oh.
Has Jesus saved him?
No, I don't think he's got round to that yet.
Oh, well, tell him I can always give him some spiritual guidance.
Oh, Pat? Yeah?
Is he back tomorrow?
No, I think he's going to be back. I think he's going to be back on Monday. Are you all right? What's going on there?
Who?
Yeah, I heard Clive go up.
Hello, that's me.
Oh.
He's trying to put ointment on the special area. Just
all right. Well, listen, I'll leave you to do that, and I'm glad that you're making special preparations for coming up and joining me in the studio. I want you anointed.
It's cod liver oil. It helps with the
chafing.
What's that?
That's me. Thingy end.
All right. Well, you might want to take this to the, I don't know, maybe take it somewhere a bit more private. All right. Well, I'll be down in a bit. Anyway, be careful with the yum yums. I'll be down in a bit. All right, love. Bye.
Bye.
03444991000. Flipping out.
Experience the unconventional, the unpredictable, and the completely unorthodox. The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Not just me, though. Finally, we have one of our correspondents checking in. Although it's not your day, is it, Pete? Hang on a sec. I've done it again. I'm not used to be onto it. Right, here we go. It's not your day, is it, Pete, to do your correspondenting?
I think it's always my day. I mean, you know, I never really get to do it when... I mean, you know, I'm really glad you're on, because the other guy who's normally in the slot, Ian, he never lets me...
No.
Never lets me finish, you know.
No. And the thing is, because we don't do spoilers, you can't really finish your thought anyway, can you?
It's definitely flawed, yeah.
But at the same time... You work it, and we appreciate that you work it. Thank you for giving me a ring, Pete. It's been really quiet to the point where I thought the phones were broken. Turns out, no, just people don't want to talk. That's fine.
The John Gorn defence. No, they're working.
Sadly. Although I don't know who that person is that you're referring to, obviously. Hey,
no,
Pete.
Well, nobody does anymore.
So what brings you to my door?
I wondered if it back. Well, I mean, first of all, something I didn't mention last night. I found out that Lottie Lyon Googles, like, frantically Twitter searches herself.
She.
Yeah.
That way lies madness.
It seems like a really bad idea, especially as, you know, she's the one who's attracting the most criticism. And,
yeah.
But just when I looked at her Twitter feed at one point, she's replying to people who haven't tagged her in, haven't even used her full name. You know,
yeah.
She's clearly searching Lottie Apprentice.
The thing is, though, her social graces ain't up to much on the show, so I don't imagine she's up for the subtleties of, you know, Twitter etiquette, and you don't want to let slip that you're the one searching for yourself, but...
Yeah, well, that's it. And she's 19. I mean, you know, it's... Yeah,
oh, man, there is that. Ah, you just made me feel bad.
Well, you know, and she's clearly not a very pleasant person from what we've seen, but...
Maybe it's just the editing. She's just one of these people who doesn't seem to know the way to... what's the word? Social graces. Doesn't know about...
I think that's it, yeah. And, you know, that comes with life a lot of the time, or you become Prime Minister. But we can't talk about that.
No, let's not discuss that, whoever it may be.
Yeah.
So do you want to play Adamant or what?
Yeah, go on then.
All right then.
I mean, my musical knowledge is poor, so this is going to be a very quick game.
All right, but I appreciate you ringing me to play Adamant. All right, so we start with Adamant. You've got to give me something beginning with T.
T.
Oh, God. T'Pau. Ultravox.
Xanadu is not a band, is it?
No. All right, let's start again. Adamant.
T. Terence Trent D'Arby?
Beautiful. Yazoo.
Oh, God.
Hang on. Nigel, do you want to have a go of Adamant with us?
Oh, yes, all right then.
Do you know how to play
it? Hello, Nigel.
Hello, Dave.
Dave?
Is that not Dave? Who's at the
top? I can be Dave. I'll be anything for you, Nigel.
Speaking to Catherine.
Yeah. It's Pete. It doesn't matter. Let's play Adamant, right? What we're going to do is...
Okay, fire away. What was the question?
Right, so what we do is we start with Adamant, and you have to name different musical, like musicians or bands.
Beginning with A?
No, beginning with T, the last letter. Right, so Adamant.
That's going to be difficult.
Then Pete says...
T'Pau.
And then you say something beginning with U.
UB40.
Beautiful. So now...
Well, begins with a zero, though.
Well, let's go Y. Yaz and the Plastic Population. Pete.
Right,
hang on, it's Pete's
Nirvana.
Go. Nirvana.
Yeah.
A, that's Nigel.
I don't know if I can do this one.
Say it. Yeah.
I can't think of one.
ABBA. Say ABBA.
ABBA.
Yay, back to you, Pete.
Ooh, Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
It's a good song, isn't it?
Howard Jones. Something beginning with S, Nigel.
Sinita. Shawaddy-waddy.
Shawaddy-waddy, beautiful.
It's a group.
Yeah, we know. I think
we've already had Yaz, haven't we?
Yeah.
But Shawaddy-waddy begins with S.
Yep, you're right. It's Pete's go.
Yeah.
Young Will.
Okay. we're going to be flexible with the rules with this one. I feel that might be easiest. Limahl. Oh, back to you, Pete.
Louise.
Louise. E. Nigel.
E. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of her name. It was a girl singer.
Enya.
Beginning with A. Pardon?
Enya.
Enya?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, you win, Nigel.
Oh, good.
Hey! Thanks, Pete. Dave.
I was going to say Aqua, but you know.
don't.
I was speaking to David on the phone. He took my call.
All right.
Your producer.
Yeah.
And,
You're standing in an election.
Dave used to talk to me some 20 years ago when on the Mike Graham show and the Mike Mendoza show.
Mm-hmm.
About 20 years or more.
He's been here a really long time. I don't think they'll let him out.
He's been on here a long time. Oh, he can't be very old. He's not very old, though.
How old are you? He's not very old, are you? How old are you? He's 47. 37.
Is he?
37, Nigel, imagine.
He's 13 years older than me.
Exactly.
Have you heard of Mini Mike, Catherine?
Mini Mike?
He was on the same show.
No.
Well, they used to call him Mini Mike. He's in the video that Mike Mendoza made of me doing Saddam Hussein's execution YouTube.
You did that?
No, I didn't film it. It was filmed in the studio. Mini Mike filmed him.
Wow,
in the studio.
That escalated. I thought that was
and
done.
You can hear me singing up to hear me ringing the show to sing, a song.
Gosh.
I'd like to do a ballad tonight if I could. It's near Christmas, and I was thinking about Mum. It's so sad, it's the second Christmas without Mum.
Yeah.
And, it's heartbreaking to think that she won't be here, but I still pray, obviously, every day.
Of course, and I bet you still talk to her, don't you?
And I do meditate, sort of meditate. In my mind, I'm talking to her, yeah.
And,
I've sorted out all my business, my bills and things. Done quite well. My insurance I sorted out. They wanted my what do you call it now? I forget it. But anyway, I've sorted out my insurance for the bike accident. So I've been in a lot of pain this morning. I couldn't get comfortable in bed.
Yeah, didn't you break your ribs or something?
Yeah, I've got a broken rib somewhere in my back that's affecting the chest and the arm and everything. And you can't get comfortable. You turn this way and that way, and whichever way you lay, there's pain all the time. It's all right. It's not hurt. It doesn't hurt until you lay down on your back. So that means I've got to sit up all the time.
Oh, blimey, Nigel.
Yeah.
But hopefully, it's getting better, isn't it?
The pain is a lot better when I do things. I've even been hoovering earlier as well.
Flipping out, Nigel. That's more than I do.
I know, but it did hurt when I moved my arm back and forward because you're moving the ribs at the back.
Yeah.
That was painful.
Well, don't push it too much.
You have to do things, don't you?
Yeah, but you don't have to.
Washing up and.
Yeah.
Like that. And
yeah. Well, okay.
I'm doing quite well getting over it anyway, but it's even holding this phone, it's painful. My arm's painful just holding this phone.
Well, I appreciate your sacrifice, Nigel.
Would you like me to do that number, Smile?
I would love it.
Because I haven't done that for ages.
Go on, hit it, Nigel.
I'll do that one. Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. Oh, when there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your tears and sorrow, smile, and maybe tomorrow, you'll see the sun come shining through. For you just light up your face with gladness, hide any trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on smiling. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll see the sun come shining through if you just smile.
Well, that was a surprising finish. Thanks very much for that, Nigel.
All right. I've been with it. Thanks, Catherine. Speak to you soon.
Take care of yourself and rest up, all right?
Yeah, I'll try. Bye, Catherine.
Night, Nigel.
Bye, Dave.
Bye, Dave. 03444991000. 03444991000. Let's have a romantic story, shall we, from Chat It's Fate. Feel free to, honestly, you can ring about whatever you fancy. We've talked about fat cats, rectal prolapse. What else do we talk about the first? Waiting for the job that you've applied for to ring you back. Do they ever ring back these days? Because all I hear are people going for interviews and then waiting for the phone to ring. And the worst thing is now you can't even con yourself that maybe you were out when they rang because everyone's got a phone in their pocket. I remember taking my phone on holiday once, waiting for someone to ring about a job. I'm guessing I didn't get it, but fingers crossed they might ring me one of these years. 03444991000. And, if you are changing jobs, what was it that made you decide that now was the time? Because it takes an awful lot, doesn't it, to get to the point where you go, right, finally, I'm going to do something. Maybe something happened in the office, if you work in an office or a shop or something. Maybe something happened, someone else did something that prompted you to jump. Or maybe you just decided that, you couldn't be moaning about it to your other half anymore. Have you ever been one of those situations where your other half says to you, look, either do something or shut up about it? 0344 499 1000, give me a shout. I've got loads of tweets as well. Thank you so much to Ansky and John, who are really enjoying the show. Roger enjoyed that. Nigel, if you're still listening, Roger enjoyed your singing. Pete, who we just spoke to, otherwise known as Dave, said, not going to lie, not my specialist subject. If we'd done Doctor Who characters, I'd be well in there and a lot more choices for X. But if I'd done Doctor Who characters, I'd have been told off. Well, you'd have been playing on your own, Pete, because I can't compete with your Doctor Who knowledge, as you well know. 0344 499 1000, if you want to give me a shout. You can tweet at Talk Radio, or you can text Talk and your message to 87222, and text will cost you 25p plus your standard network rate. But really, it costs you very little to give me a shout. If you give me a call, we will get Amy to give you a call straight back, and you'll be on the radio within seconds, and we can just have a chat. It's nice and relaxed. Talk about whatever you fancy. All right, let's have a look. Let's get some more spooky music as we delve back into the world of Chat It's Fate. Here we go. This is going to be the one. This is the one. Dark Winter Medieval Festival. Oh, yeah. A life less ordinary. I used ancient pagan magic to find myself a wife. You know, if Tinder stops working. When I travelled to Doon Hill, Aberfoyle, in Scotland, it was with one mission in mind. I was totally horned up. Gosh, fancy writing that. This is a family magazine. I was going to cast a spell to find my soulmate. I'm what's known as a weird. W-Y-R-D. Have you heard of that? Someone who follows the old pagan ways of this country. The word means fate in Old English, and for want of a better description, you could describe me as an Anglo-Saxon sorcerer. Ladies and gentlemen, why can't you find a mate? Let's carry on. I am descended from Viking stock, and magic is part of my life. Just as it used to be part of everyone's life, except the modern ways have shut us all off to it. As I arrived at Doon Hill, I felt a tingle of excitement. Not there. Something was special about this place. I could tell straight away. I'd entered another world. I knew this was a favourite fairy mound. I don't think we call that anymore. But what I didn't realise was just how powerful it was. Here we go. First little subtitle. Magic Tree. I was looking for the old black pine, a tree which stands on top of the hill that is said to be the entrance to the fairy realm. Very carefully, I tied my spell in the form of a poem to a branch on the pine tree. It was already fluttering with spells from people all around the world who, like me, hoped to harness the magic of this special place. As I secured the poem, I saw a flash of brightness all around me. Fairy folk. Of course, it's the only logical conclusion. I knew then that it was going to be a successful journey. A month later, while visiting some friends, I was introduced to a woman with rose gold hair and porcelain skin. Hi, I'm Elizabeth, she smiled. As her eyes met mine, I almost gasped at the strength of our connection. We got chatting, and I knew immediately that the spell had worked. A month later, that this was who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. She believed in magic and fairies and the power of nature. She does sound like a keeper, to be fair. Right down to how we liked our tea, hot and sweetened with honey. We shared the exact same taste in everything. We were the perfect match. Will you marry me? I asked just a few months later. I was praying she'd say yes, and when she did, it was one of the happiest moments in my life.
The good life.
We started planning our future, and we knew that a life with computers, mobiles and televisions was not for us. Not that there's anything wrong with them, we just wanted a different kind of life. So we decided to look for a house where we would be able to let our kids roam free and explore nature in the safety of our garden and the surrounding area. Milton Keynes was an obvious choice. I'm joking. I made runes out of old stones and cast them to see where we ought to live, but I didn't get a definitive message. Try right move. Be patient, was all the runes would say. We started house hunting, but a voice inside kept saying, no, Not this one. More than once I knew it wasn't right for us before we'd knocked on the front door. Same, but normally it's because, like, there's a mattress outside or something. Shared vision. I've had this vision about how our home will look, I told Elizabeth as we drove away from yet another unsuccessful house viewing. It's got a fence and an apple tree. And a brook at the bottom of the adjoining field, she gasped. I've had the exact same dream. It turns out we both had several dreams in which we'd visualized the same home. We'd both been praying to the goddess, and now it felt like our prayers could be answered. I felt a ripple of excitement. There he goes again. Between us, we were manifesting our dream house. Sure enough, a couple of months later, I was sent the particulars for a home that matched our vision. I felt shivers run up and down my spine as I looked at the photos. It had a fence all round it, and not just one apple tree, but a whole orchard. Ladies and gentlemen, the eagle has landed. There was a brook at the bottom of the adjoining field, just as we dreamt. We had to pinch ourselves. It seemed too good to be true. Once we'd moved into our new home, I threw myself into the old ways, growing herbs to make potions to heal ourselves. I began building a shrine to the goddess close to the brook where we take gifts to thank her for providing us with the abundance we'd need if we were to live our lives in tune with nature and be as self-sufficient as possible. What's that? Elizabeth whispered one evening, pointing to the living room window. We both distinctively saw a shadowy figure flit past. We both felt energy in the house previously, so we weren't particularly surprised or scared. Maybe this was their house once, Elizabeth suggested. I just hope they find the peace they're looking for. I mean, it's probably a cat, wasn't it? But, okay, let's jump to the ghost conclusion. I sighed, deciding to keep them in my prayers. We've been living in... I'll tell you after the news. Hang on. 03444991000.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Not dreaming. See the lights of the neighbor's house. Now
03444991000. This is a late night alternative. I'm Catherine Boyle, and I am in sole charge of the show for today and tomorrow because Ian's taking a little bit of time off. Previously, however, on November's issue of Charity's Fate. What's that? Elizabeth whispered one evening, pointing out the living room window. We both distinctively saw a shadowy figure flip past. We both felt energy in the house previously, so we weren't particularly surprised or scared. Maybe this was their house once, Elizabeth suggested. I just hope they find the peace they're looking for, I sighed, deciding to keep them in my prayers. We'd been living in the house for a while, when things suddenly started to go missing. By the way, news update, I found the other child's fate, so I want to tidy it up. The few electrical items we had broke, and the energy in the house felt low and different somehow. Something wrong with their relationship, perhaps? Maybe their cleaner isn't as trustworthy as they thought. No, I think it's goblins, Elizabeth said. Goblins aren't the Harry Potter creatures that people think they are, but mischievous sprites that thrive on negativity if you let them. Elizabeth showed me how to banish them. We strode around the house, clanging saucepan lids together, shouting, "Begone, goblins! Out! Out!" Goblins, you see, hate loud noises. So this deafening clamour guaranteed that they would leave us alone. And so would the neighbours. One summer solstice, my wife placed her hands on her tummy and looked straight into my eyes and whispered... I shouldn't have had that curry. No, she said, "I'm pregnant." Hang on a minute. Hang on. Sorry, I broke that a bit. I broke that a little bit brusquely, didn't I? Let's do this properly. She placed my hands on her belly and said... I'm pregnant. I'm not pregnant. She's pregnant. She was pregnant. She's probably not pregnant anymore. I almost cried with joy. Young family. I set about making sure the land and the house were safe for the young family. I chopped wood, made brew, collected old tools so that the old ways would be our ways. So didn't baby-proof the house, didn't buy, like, a cot. But still, that brew... Our three boys, 5-year-old twins and their 3-year-old brother, gosh, that must have been a difficult delivery, have grown up not fearing nature, but loving it. When one of my sons brought a friend round to play, he was very excited to show him around the house. He pointed to a cupboard under the stairs. "That's where our brownie lives," he told his friend. "What's a brownie?" the friend asked curiously. Quick as a flash, my son answered, "A brownie is a creature that only comes out at night when everyone is fast asleep. It helps with housework and doing jobs." I could do one of those, at least one. "They're not always good. They can be wicked or mischievous." That's fine. "But ours is a good one." "Our life is a good one. Every Saturday the family gathers around the shrine for a short ceremony where we give thanks for the food we eat, the air we breathe, the weather and the gods for keeping us safe. We make an offering of fire, food and drink. What could be better?" Gosh. So if the apps don't work... tie your wish to a tree, and within a month or so, you'll get your absolute favourite person in the world wandering into your life, and then you'll be able to have a nice house. You'll specify that you want a house with a certain tree outside. Here's the spoiler. You could just buy a nice house and put the tree there yourself. And then you'll get brownies and that to help you out with the chores. Sounds ideal. Don't know why more people don't do it. 03444991000. This is a late night alternative. And if you haven't heard it before, it's not the sort of show where we talk generally about politics or the serious stuff that you'll hear anywhere else. Basically, it's completely free form and you can ring up and just have your say on whatever you like. Not even have your say. That makes it sound like you've got to come on with a sort of prepared monologue about something. Just come on and have a chat. That's basically it. 03444991000. Do you know what? I think I'll shut up for a bit and you can ring me if you want. But if not, we'll just have a bit of thinking time. How does that feel? I mean, I've got silly stories. I've got some quite rude ones, but... 03444991000. Give us a shout. some ambience. I'm just going to type ambience into YouTube. Oh, rain and thunderstorm sounds, crackling fireplace. Should we have some of that? Oh, hang on, this is an advert for WWF. Not the wrestling one. It's not called that anymore. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Cass. Well, I thought I'd give you a ring because, like I said, there's not many callers tonight,
is there? Do you know what? It was really packed in the first hour, and I was feeling you know, it was going to go on forever, and then all of a sudden, they all fell asleep.
Just died off a little bit.
Completely died off, my friend.
Anyway, I've got a funny... Well, it's funny now. It wasn't funny at the time.
My favourite kind. Tell me.
Okay. So, many moons ago, when I was a young lad, and... Me and my wife, we were just boyfriend and girlfriend, and I lived above a shop. Now, on one side, there was nothing, so it was on like a gable end, and on the other side, it was just a row of shops. And there was just one entrance door to come in and out and up the stairs, and there was a living room, a bedroom, and a kitchen. And she decided to stop over this one night, and she, so we were laid there in bed. You know, a good Catholic boy and girl, and it was late at night, maybe about 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and it sounded like somebody had kicked the front door off, and we were like, shit, what's that like?
Yeah, you would be.
And then it sounded like somebody was running up the stairs, and she was like, shit, it's me dad. I said, love, you're 28. Yeah, but he still sees me like a little girl in pigtails. I was like, oh shit. So I jumped out of bed, and I'm getting there in a fighting stance, thinking, right, come on, what's happening here? And nothing happened. And she went, go and have a look. And I went, you what? She went, go and have a look. I said, you come with me. Because it was pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
I went, right, you come with me. She went, you bloody coward. I said, I am. You come with me. So I goes to the door. Now, you don't just, this is why I'd survive in a horror film. You don't just open the door, because if somebody stood there with an axe, straight down your forehead, you know what I mean?
I've seen it done. So what do? Shove her in front of you first?
No, she was behind me, holding me hips, right? Pushing me forward, and I'm pushing her back, saying, stop pushing me. So I opened the door about 6 inches, and I feels round the door, looking for the light switch, going, I know there's one here somewhere, thinking, oh, please don't cut my arm off, but if you do, I've got another arm, I can throw a punch, throw her in front of you. Whatever.
You had it all figured out, considering anyway, this is a matter of seconds before you have to open the door.
It does. It all happens in a matter of seconds. So, anyway, switch the light on, and we go through down the hallway. Nothing. Goes into the kitchen. Same scenario. Put my arm around, looking for the light switch. We goes in. Shouts down the stairs. Who's there? No answer. So we creeps down the stairs. There's a light switch at the bottom of the stairs. Put the light... Looks round under the sofas, round the sofas, everywhere. Check the door. To this day, Kath, I do not know what that bang was or what that running up the stairs was. There was nothing to the left of the house. Like I say, it's a gable end. And on the other side was a shop. And this was like 1-2 o'clock in the morning. So we don't know what that was. Anyway, we comes back up the stairs and she stops dead. And I'm like, don't look, Tony, don't look. And I knew exactly what she was looking at, Kath. The bloody loft hatch. Stick your head up there and have a look.
No!
I was like, you what, look? Oh, yeah, you what, love? Not a chance. Come on, and I grabbed her. Right, come on, just get into bed. Now, my bed was next to the wash vent. I'll sleep next to the wall. And then it doesn't stop there. She goes, don't go to sleep until I've gone to sleep. You know what I mean?
I never slept for a month.
But that,
no way.
So what? What's your theory? What was it?
I not a clue. Couldn't tell you. Not a clue. It wasn't pixies. It wasn't gnomes or goblins or anything like that. I really don't know. And to this day, we've never been able to explain it. But we've moved out of that area now. You know, we live in Leeds now. But yeah. I couldn't tell you what it was.
Isn't it funny, the kind of defensive mode you go into when you think someone's in the house?
Oh, my trainers were on ready for running. I'd have outrun her anyway.
I know. And what's your wife's name?
Sam.
All right, well, Sam is very lucky to have such an attack dog, basically, that is primed for anything.
I'm alive. Attack dog. I'm an alive attack dog. That's what it is.
True. I've done that, though, in the night when I used to live on my own. I remember hearing a noise. It was a flat, so there were no stairs to go down. Hearing a noise, and you think, right, bloody hell, what do I do? There's one door in, and it's the same door to get out. I'm trapped in here with whatever this thing is. Am I going to lie here and wait for it to go, or am I going to go and check? And in the end, you check, but, I mean, for God's sake, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you're looking for something to throw, aren't you, just in case?
Just in case. Absolutely. Well, Tony, I'm glad it happened without incident and you didn't get an axe in the head, because that would have been nasty.
Oh, there was all sorts going through my head, because like I say, I'm bipolar as well, so...
Oh, flipping heck.
Me thoughts, well, we didn't know that at the time, but it explains a lot of things, but... So, like, do you know, like, when you go to a bookstore and you pick up a book and you thumb through the pages...
Mm-hmm.
That is what my thought process is like some days. You know, each page is a different thought on a different subject, on what could have happened, what might have happened, what hasn't happened, what could I do with that? And that's what my thought process is like most of the time.
Good grief, that sounds exhausting. So, sounds exhausting.
It is very, very exhausting.
Well, I'm glad you made it, Tony.
It's been a 4-year process so far with, like I say, good family, good doctors, and great help all round, and friends.
You're a good one. Thanks very much for ringing. I appreciate you calling.
No worries, my love. Thank you very much for taking my call. Hey. And I'm going to carry on listening now on the radio.
My pleasure. You've kicked off a whole load of other calls, so I really appreciate it, Tony. Thank you ever so much. Let's talk to Ellie. Hey, Ellie.
Hi, Cass.
How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Not too bad.
What have you got for me? And thanks for ringing, because it did get flipping quiet, and I wondered whether I was on my own.
No, it was good just listening to you. Anyway, just a few things, like what you've mentioned tonight. There's quite a big fat dog around where I live.
Right.
And the woman got him from the kennels, and what had happened is owner had got dementia.
Right.
Kept forgetting that he'd fed him. So it was a really, really massive fat dog, but like she's like, you know, slowly getting to lose weight, and he's bad with arthritis, the Labrador.
Paul, the thing is with Labradors, they will not stop eating and they won't tell you that they're full.
No, that's it. Yeah, that's what she was saying, yeah.
That's so sad, though, that the owner had got to that point where, you know, they're feeding it to death, really.
It's sad that neighbours haven't noticed.
I know.
You know.
But that's the thing, though, when an animal is big, people just think, oh, it's spoiling it, that's fine, that's not as bad. But it's just as flipping dangerous, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah.
So now this dog is on a weight loss program, is it?
Yeah, slowly walks along.
Slow walking's better than no walking, Ellie.
Yeah, of course, well, this is it, yeah.
What else have you got for me?
I was wondering, we never heard anything from the Copsall twins, and no one ever, like, plays any Copsall twins. Do you remember them?
I don't. Now, I've heard of them because someone I used to work with, his dad was the manager of them. That's the only time I've ever heard of them.
Well,
I should know more, shouldn't I?
They never sung any actual words. It's like they sung in gibberish.
Did they?
Yeah. So it was really amazing.
Scottish rock band from 1979 to 1997.
Right.
And you were into them, were you?
Well, I liked them at the time, yeah. They just seemed to come on the scene and then go, you know what I mean? In and out type of thing.
Do you think they weren't commercial enough?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, because it would have been really weird to most people that they're just singing in the gibberish.
Are you sure it was gibberish and not just Scottish?
Well, you know, it could have been. Sound, and it just sounded like gibberish to me.
Ellie, thanks for ringing. Nice to hear from you.
All right, cheers.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Let's talk to Sloop. Hey, Sloop.
Hey, I'm live on air, right?
You're live on air, right? Do you know anything about the Cocteau Twins?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them before, but no, I don't really dig their music. You know me, I listen to sort of crappy stuff.
All right, but what I'm saying to you is she right that they used to sing in gibberish, or did she just misunderstand their accent?
I'd suggest you misunderstood their accent, Catherine. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I think we're going to have to look them up, but yeah, in the meantime. What have you got for me, Sloop John B?
Well, you were talking about, you know, like, a couple of things you talked about. You know, like, have a go. Like, you were talking about your grandfather riding the horse. And
oh,
things
yeah.
You might be thinking I could have a go at that.
Exactly. So you've seen it done. You've never done it before, but you reckon you could have
well,
a crack at
I've
it.
Well, I've heard about something, right? You know I'm an absolute wrestling nut, right?
Yes.
And I've been listening to this podcast for about, like, the last year and a half by a guy called Bruce Pritchard, who was the biggest producer in the business. And as I've been listening to it, I've basically been learning the sort of basics of production, television production. And I thought from one potential producer to another, I would just give you a couple of points I've learned and maybe you could give me one.
Go on then.
You know? Well, because we can't go too deep into it because we have to be entertaining for the people listening.
I'm
right?
Bearing that in mind.
So that's my first thing. You've got to be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that everyone's enjoying the show. It's not about necessarily your creativity. It's about making it entertaining so that people come back. Would that be correct?
Not necessarily everybody. You can't entertain everybody.
But most, your target people, right?
All right, yeah, okay.
So I've got that. So have I got that right, would you say?
Pretty much, yeah. I think that it's, you should know who you're talking to.
Okay, fine. The other thing that I've learned, right, is due diligence. Does that term ring any bells?
Yep.
That's all your legalities and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
So you think I've got it. Is there anything now that you could tell me that would be like from a producer 101? You'd say, right, Sloop, this is the nugget I'm going to give you that's going to help you.
All right then, so you're the producer, and normally producers don't get to go on air, so I would suggest you know your presenter and you think of things that make them, you've got your job basically is to make them sound brilliant,
right, and make them tick
know what makes them tick, know what lights their enthusiasm, know what they sound brilliant talking about, and feed that. Don't try and make them into someone they aren't, because they've been hired because they are a certain way. So it's just a matter of shining that up. Allow that to, allow that to show.
But hide the weaknesses, accentuate the positives.
Well, you know, do you look at people in terms of weaknesses? I would just say, look, if someone is not, for example, if someone is not into football, don't expect them to do football with enthusiasm. But if they are someone who's interested in human interest stories, you could do a football story, but you make sure that there's a character in there.
Right. Okay, well, listen, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll keep you and Ian posted. By the way, do you think you could get Denny to give me a job, maybe?
Well, I'm working on Denny giving me a job that I can keep, so I'll let you know.
Will you put a good word in for me, Kath?
Of course I'll put a good word in for you.
Just if I don't get the job with WWE, then I could come to talk radio, yeah?
Well, I've got no power, but I would certainly give you a shining endorsement. How about that?
All right, Catherine, fair enough. Listen, from one producer to another.
Yeah.
Have a good night, my friend.
Thank you very much, and thanks for ringing up. I appreciate it.
Adios, ma'am. Adios.
0344-499-1000. Hello, Sheila.
Hi, Kath.
Hey, what's been going on with you? I read on Twitter you've been having a bit of a tough one.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm not, but it's nice to talk to you anyway.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what to say now. Like, it's funny, when I phone Ian, it just comes out, but when I speak to you, I feel really nervous.
What? Why?
I don't know, because you're like, I don't know, you remind me of my friends. Like, really, I don't know what it is. But there's one friend in particular that you remind me of, and she doesn't take any nonsense. And I think it's that.
I take plenty of nonsense. You've heard this show before.
I know, but you know when you've probably got friends yourself that are like that,
mm-hmm.
where you just you just can't get away with being daft. And that's kind of it.
Well, listen,
you.
I actively encourage you to be daft, Sheila.
Okay.
I actively encourage you.
Okay, so I'd say thank you, because I've received a lovely gift in the post today. It came this morning, and it was my platinum membership card.
How do you feel? Are you feeling special? Are you feeling?
I do feel special, until I read the little bit at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, but we've got to be clear for legal reasons.
No, I loved it, but I can't. I actually can't listen to it because I don't have a record player.
Oh, bless you.
I've not had one since I was a child. You know when, like, I used to have those hi-fi systems that were plastic and, like, pink or white, and you'd have, it's probably showing my age, but you'd have a CD player, a cassette player, and on the top you'd also have your record player.
Yeah, and they were massive.
Yeah, they were. My parents' ones were really massive, and I had, like, one that I thought was a mini system, but... It's not anymore. So I don't have anything that I can play it on. So I'm just looking at it, and it looks great.
Okay. Well, I mean, the contents are obviously, it's a work of genius. Tell yourself that.
I just want to know what it is.
Well, one day you will come near one of these mythical record playing machines, and you will unlock the secrets held within.
Do you know what? I've actually, one shelf of my whole wardrobe is filled with vinyl. Yeah, I've got loads of vinyl records.
Why don't you get yourself a turntable? You can get pretty cheap
ones.
Yeah,
I need to get one, actually. I don't know, like, where to get it or what to get. I know it's more in fashion now. I don't know what I need, whether, you know, you need to spend a lot to get one. But I'd really like to. I've got loads and loads of vinyl.
Well, it seems a bit of a waste if you've got loads of vinyl and nothing to play it on. You don't have to spend a fortune.
Okay.
And, you know, just get a starter one. And then if you get really into it, then think about putting more, you know, investing in something bigger. But you can pick them up quite cheap.
Right, so is it a surprise what's on the record?
Very surprising.
You've not mentioned. It's probably nothing. You've put nothing on it.
No, we haven't put nothing on it.
There's something on it.
Yeah, there's something on both sides.
Oh, wow, okay. I'm really excited. I thought it was going to be like a really big one. Like, again, I'm not really...
Well, like
I
an
don't
LP.
Know about vinyl. Yes. So when it arrived, I didn't know what it was. I didn't even think what it could be. And then it was so exciting to open because I've got my... And I thought, I didn't see the card at first either, so I shook it. And out came the record, and I was like, oh, no, there's no card.
Well, the card is what everyone wants, yeah.
But I've got the card. And it's and you've written my name in gold, which is very lovely. And actually, it's spelt right.
Thank you. I do not make the same mistake twice.
Thank you. Do you know what? My friend bought it for me, and I said to him, Catherine's written that.
I know.
Because the writing's lovely, and it's written correctly.
Well, you see, last time, Ian felt a bit ashamed of his writing, so he made me do all the writing this time around.
Did he write the envelope?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew he did.
We sat there for a couple of hours, what was it, day before yesterday, in his kitchen and did them all. And, I saw yours and I saw who bought it for you, and they're a really good friend.
Oh, I can't believe how, like, sort of personal it is. I would have thought you'd have a team that would do that.
We are the team. It's just me and him. We're a little cottage industry, but that's the beauty of when this, for anyone who's listening, this is like part of the rabbit hole that we do, Ian and I do on our own outside Talk Radio, and we've got a single at the moment. Don't get excited, it's not going to be Christmas number one by a long chalk, but you know, the part of the beauty of it is that it's just me and him. No one else is involved in it, so no one can take it away from us. It's completely us, and no one else has an input in it. It's just, we love it. We absolutely love it.
Yeah,
and also,
that's
it's a little insurance policy should everything else go south, as it has for us in the past. Do you know what I mean? So once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. You're doing it the right way, and you've got your following, and we love you.
Oh, thanks.
I'm coming to London.
Good.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to coming along. I did come last December.
I remember.
Oh. So I didn't make it to the games night, and I've bought tickets for loads of your stuff, but I'm one of those that buys tickets and doesn't attend a lot. So I bought tickets to Brass, I bought tickets to Weird Science, and there was the last London gig as well.
Yeah, well, they were fun.
I thought, well, that's a hat trick now, so I'm definitely coming to this one.
Brilliant. Make sure you do. And it's one of those things where if you come on your own, I don't know who you're coming with, but if you come on your own, you don't feel like you're on your own. You can sit and chat to anybody.
I won't come on my own. I'm going to bring my mate that bought me the LP.
Good. He's a nice fella.
So we're both going to come along, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's only that it's like sort of daytime, and the last one was evening.
Yeah. Well, because
that's
really...
a bit different.
Yeah, it is a bit different. And also... Well, because the venue, we had to find an alternative venue from the one we were using before. And so it's kind of a little trial thing. Okay. But also, it's one of those events where, do you know what? Sometimes it's better if people aren't absolutely mullered. And when we do evening ones, it does generally degenerate quite quickly.
Yeah, okay. But are you going to do what I loved? And I didn't come to it last time because the friend I was coming with actually had a kidney stone and he was really ill that year.
Okay, I'll take that as an excuse. That's fair enough.
So sorry, you just passed me something that I'm supposed to talk to you about, but what I thought is, are you going to do a games night? Because I missed it last year. I missed it. And I really, really... you know, sometimes there's things that you really wish you'd been to.
It was really good fun.
I missed it. We got there just in time for the show because we went to a different part.
Oh, man.
There's another one up the road that's similar and went there.
It's owned by the same people. Well, I think we are. I think that's part of the plan, but I'll need to check with my colleague, of course. But I think that is part of the plan, that we do some of the games.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Or even if you do them afterwards, that'd be lovely.
All right.
Well. I just thought I'm going to miss that. So also, if I can say something else, my friend's just passed me something that I'm supposed to talk about. Alistair?
Yes.
Phoned earlier, talked about Brussels sprout crisps.
Oh, my God, yes.
So I found a packet in my cupboard today, and shows what a year I've had. I've not cleaned out my cupboards, but it's an old packet of crisps, and I'd saved it thinking, oh, I'll save that because it's lovely. And it's a Brussels sprouts crisp. So a couple of things have bothered me about this. One is that I'm a bit of a pedant for language, so I thought it was a Brussels sprout. So since finding the crisp, I've realised it's Brussels sprouts.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think anyone's going to hate you for saying Brussels sprouts.
No, but I don't understand it. I don't like it, and that's annoyed me. But also, in the last, probably the last month or so, I'm trying to get healthy.
Right.
And I've started sprouting things. So my new hobby is sprouting things. So I bought some sprouting jars. I don't know if anyone else does this.
What?
And I'm like, yeah, I'm sprouting things to eat. And I'm trying to eventually lose weight by doing like a sprouting diet.
What is that? So what you've got, I'm thinking of the sort of things that my kids bring home from school, like beans sitting on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you're doing?
Kind of. But they're mason jars and they're specifically for sprouting. So things that you might eat ordinarily, or maybe other people don't eat, but like lentils or mung beans or kidney beans. I didn't even know. The things that you buy in packets that are dry, they're still alive.
Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
Okay, and that's going to help you lose weight how? Because you're eating one bean at a time and waiting for it to grow?
No, it's not about losing weight. It's about actually how good it is for you.
Right.
Because
you're eating it alive.
Yes. You're eating live stuff. It's amazing. So I don't have a garden, so that's probably part of it as well. If I had a garden, maybe I'd go out and see things growing. But just to see something on your windowsill in a jar, like turning from this little pulse or seed into things that are sprouting life is amazing.
Yeah. Well, you can get chili plants. Have you tried that?
No.
Do you like them?
No.
Do you like chilies?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, get one of them.
Oh, I like Chili Chris. He hasn't called up for a little while.
Chili Chris hasn't rung up for a while, no. I love the way your mind works.
Yeah, I know. I loved Chili Chris because he was so passionate about chili.
Yeah, he loves it.
Well, I love that.
All things chili. Chris.
But, yeah, for me, because I'm terrible with anything to do with plants, so I live in a flat, I don't think it'd be any different if I lived in a place with a garden, but anytime anyone buys me a plant, I just kind of sigh because I know it's not going to live.
I feel the same when my mum buys me hanging baskets. Because I'm just going to put it up and watch it gently. I don't really like them anyway. I think they feel a bit like, I don't know, a pub or a railway station. But my mum always means well, and they do spruce the place up. But I just know that I'm going to slowly watch it die.
I know, and that every plant I've had, it doesn't matter what I do, what I try, I think I kill it with love. I think I always, like, water it too much.
Yeah, you can overwater.
Look at it too much, talk to it too much, and then it's done.
I don't think looking at it too much is going to... But I don't know. I'm no gardener.
But at least that's what's really excited me about these things. You put, like, your lentils in or your beans, and then you water them every day. You have to rinse out the water, like, 3 times a day. And then it's amazing. They start, like, shoots come out of them.
It's the miracle of life, Sheila.
Yeah, I didn't know that, though. I just think all my life I didn't know that these things in little packets are actually still alive.
Oh, bless you, Sheila. Your enthusiasm for your sprouting is...
I love it.
It's delightful. Thanks so much for ringing.
Okay, take care.
03444991000. If you're sprouting, let's talk.
Experience the unconventional, the unpredictable, and the completely unorthodox. The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Right, I think it's only fair that for the sake of the Cocteau Twins and the people of Scotland and Ellie, who rang up earlier on, we need to work out whether they are singing words or whether it is just, in her words, gibberish. So if you would indulge me, Dave and Cleo, who are waiting on the line, I just want to just check what the crack is with the Cocteau Twins. Let's have a listen. This is the Cocteau Twins, Heaven or Las Vegas. Heaven or Las Vegas. Yeah, but the rest is, as Ellie said, gibberish. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Cass.
That's fairly conclusive, don't you think, that scientific experiment?
Yeah, sometimes you have to tune into a wavelength of some singers, and then suddenly it clicks like a, you know, like a lock.
There are words in there.
It unlocks it for you.
Yeah, I always thought that Michael Jackson was particularly difficult to decipher.
Yeah, because there was a lot of sort of Frankie Howard, like, sort of noises and stuff in between the words.
Well, it was pointed out to me not that long ago that Chameau has actually come on.
Oh, is it?
Chameau.
Well, you know, he needed to enunciate better, didn't he, really?
It was one of his many problems.
Yeah, it wasn't the main one, but...
Anyway, we shouldn't laugh, should we?
I was out tonight, so I missed the first hour.
The first hour was rocking. The second hour went really quiet, and I have no idea why. And I was praying that I could blame it on the phones being broken, but yeah. They weren't. People decided to have a bit of thinking time.
So I don't know if you watched the video on the CD with that weird letter you got last night.
Oh, no, I didn't, because Ian took it.
Yeah, maybe a warning from history, but something that happened to a friend of mine who worked in a TV repair shop in the 90s. And this guy came in with a video recorder, a guy in his 60s, and said, the tape's stuck in the video recorder, I can't get it out, I want you to try and fix it for me.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, so he plugged the, plugged the thing in to get it started, and press play, and the thing started playing, and it was, the guy who gave him the video, Ian said last night, knocking one out.
Oh my God, I thought you were reaching for some sort of sugar coating, but you went for that one, great.
No, I went for that one. So he stopped it, and he phoned the guy up, said, your video's ready to pick up, and the guy came in, he said, it works then, he goes, the video's in there, it's a bit naughty, and the guy looked at him and said, I know, and winked at him and walked out.
What? Do you think it was just a ruse to get someone to have a look?
Yep.
Dirty get.
and he spoke to someone else in the area, was a repair, and yeah, he sort of went round the repair shop.
People, right? People.
Yeah, I know.
Ian always says, if you can think of it, someone gets off doing it, right?
Well, exactly.
But that's a new one on me.
Yeah, Although I'm not surprised. I don't know, but yeah.
Flipping heck.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yesterday we had some a guy came around to try and to measure for some windows having fitted.
Oh yeah.
And our cat Willow, our kitten Willow.
The original, it has to be said that yours is the OG.
She went nuts for this laser pointer thing, because they don't get a tape measure out anymore. They have a laser pointer which measures it. And she just went absolutely nuts. So I went on, you know, a popular river-based company yesterday and ordered £9 for a laser pointer. And she goes absolutely nuts for it. Just runs around completely obsessed with it.
Isn't it incredible? Because this is the thing, right? When they're still indoors, I do worry that all I'm doing is feeding her and she just sleeps and that she's not getting enough exercise. I'm pretty sure she is.
You could always try that.
I've got one.
Races about underneath
I've got one, and it started because my watch kept reflecting the light and she was going for when the reflection hits the wall. She was climbing the walls trying to find. I was thinking, what on earth is she doing? And it was because of that. It was this sort of flashing reflection.
Yeah.
So we got a laser pointer. Absolutely loves it. You're right. Although, does yours do this thing? And it seems to be there is a certain time of the evening when all cats get a memo that now is the time to run around, skid across furniture, bash into walls, that kind of stuff.
Ours at the moment, we've got hedgehogs that visit every night and for food. And so she waits for them to turn up and then sits out while they have something to eat. And then wanders around the garden with them until they wander off. And then, one now, because we think the other one's hibernated or just found somewhere else to have something to eat. But,
How long has your Willow been going out?
About 3 months, something like that.
Right.
She can't really get out of the garden.
No.
She runs around the garden, but she was allowed out on the roof the other night, so she can now see that there are other gardens and lots of other stuff either way.
Don't you worry that? Because I don't know whether my Willow knows that that's her name or indeed we are her people properly.
No, it's very odd. She got out about 2 days after we picked her up from Battersea Cat's Home. And, she somehow got out. We thought we blocked up every single hole in the garden before she got there, but she got out and encountered a dog. There's like a path right down the back of ours, and there's a field next to that. Mm-hmm. And so she went down into the ditch next to the field. So we were out there for ages, and then someone came out with their dog and said, "Oh, there's a little cat out here earlier," and she was sort of everyone was quiet, and she was down in the ditch. So she was meowing and she knew her name then, so I don't know.
They just ignore, don't they?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. They ignore you until, it's important, and then,
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. My Willow, within the first week, had found every single hole in the house. Basically, there was a hole in the bit underneath the kitchen. She went in there, came out with crap.
Yeah.
Under the bath. She managed to get under the bath at one point. She gets in the shoe cupboard. The other day we were looking high and low for her. I couldn't find her anywhere. She was in the shoe cupboard. She'd been in there for ages. She's manages to lock herself in things.
Yeah, they're good at that. And asked for a while was sleeping in the sink, She wouldn't see her anywhere, and she was so small at that point, you couldn't see from me. If you look in the sink, she's in there, but yeah.
It seems to me that
bathroom sink and stuff.
Whatever you buy them is not good enough. They will find their own things to sit on or sleep in.
Yeah, exactly. And she's already got the thing of looking at you if you're sitting on a chair she wants to sit on. It's like, well, you want me to get up? And you get up, I can sleep anywhere in the house, but no, I want that seat you're sitting on.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's cats for you.
But isn't it incredible the power they get and they manage to get pretty much straight away?
I think they remember that they were once, worshipped as gods in Egypt, and it's sort of been passed down as a race memory of, this is how we were treated at one point, and,
We will continue in that ilk, otherwise I will see the manager.
Exactly, yeah. So I just think they just do that.
It's a joy, though. It's a real joy, and I've waited for a long time to get my cat. I've always wanted one and never been in a position to have one before, but now I can't remember a time when we didn't have her.
No, we've always had cats, you know, sort of, you know, usually pairs, actually. It's the first time we got one on their own, but...
Is it different? Are they different with you, if there's two of them?
Well, I guess, I don't know. She seems to amuse herself. We always sort of get two cats because they can be company for each other, but the last two sort of were got on for about 6 months, and then for the rest of their lives, they hated each other, but, you know. And that was a long, that was, they both lived till about 18, 19. Gosh, so, that was a long time.
It was a long standoff.
So, you know, it's just sort of, you know, if one was sort of walking past and the other one was sort of on a bed or something, they sort of, you know, sort of swipe at each other. To, you know,
God, I wonder what had been said in that first 6 months.
I don't know, but, you know.
It was never forgiven.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, Dave, it's so nice to hear from you. Thanks for ringing up.
No problem. I've been out and I was listening, driving home and enjoying it. And, thanks. You know.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Nice to hear from you.
No problem.
Speak to you again.
See you.
Bye, Dave. We've got Cleo on the other line. Cleo!
Oh, dear Stormy Thunder on the old package thing, that dodgy package.
Oh, right. Is it... Well, you've had a dodgy package as well.
No, I was wondering what it was. I was like, ooh. I was very intrigued last night when you...
I'm wondering what it is, but these things... In my experience, things that come with a lot of paperwork never lead to anything good.
Yes.
It was very thorough. It was very thorough.
Which means it's probably, like, top secret sort of, like, war, spy on spy, spooks type action, I think.
I don't know. It's going to either be, right, here's the thing, it's be brilliant or disappointing.
Yes.
It won't just be all right.
I know, it can't be. They wouldn't go to that length, would they?
No. And they obviously feel like it's really important.
Well... I've got a feeling it will be, because they mentioned police and that, didn't they?
They mentioned a lot of things. This is the thing. It was quite a scattergun
No.
Anyway. Are you into the Cocteau Twins? They don't feel soulful enough for you.
I'm like everybody else. I know that I am, like, trendies love the Cocteau Twins from my generation, but I've never listened to them.
No.
I've read of them and seen them mentioned and heard them mentioned, but never, ever.
They sound like one of those bands that's a bit tricky, but maybe worth the effort.
Thing is, I've got a number of bands where I love them, but I wouldn't part money with them.
Oh, right. Like?
Stone Roses.
Right, I get you.
Love them. Like, it's part of my youth. Clubbing in the 90s and stuff, and being a bit of an indie kid, and like, oh, yeah, it's massive. And every time I hear them, class.
Yeah, I Am the Resurrection, She Bangs the Drums.
Yes, and if I'm in someone's house and they're playing them...
It's a banger.
I'm like, yes, get in, but I've never, ever bought an album. I don't know why. I don't know what it is.
Maybe you don't need to. There are some bands where it's great if you hear them now and again by surprise, like you say, on the radio or someone else's house, but you don't necessarily want to have them at your disposal all the time.
Exactly. Do you have any songs where you've... found this whole thing and hang on, this is like, no. Like, when I heard this, when it first came out, I'd have been kicking myself in the head for saying, oh, this is really good. I've got loads of, like, guilty 80s gorgeous songs I like, and I'm like, what are you doing? When I was a kid, I'd have been, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
I love them now.
My obsession with Fleetwood Mac is something that younger me would not understand.
Yes.
But it's partly down to having read this amazing book, right? It's a kind of kiss and tell. And it's possibly the best rock and roll book I've ever read, and it's by Lindsey Buckingham's ex-girlfriend. And they were together while it was still kind of fizzling with Stevie. They were together through the end of Rumours, I think it was. So there was loads of back and forth. It was all going off. There was loads of drugs and booze and gossip, and I don't know whether, I mean, I'm sure some of it is sensationalised, to say the very least, but it's just such a great read. I went through it in about, it's one of those that you start in the morning and you finish by lunchtime. It was just brilliant. But then, you know, when it kind of, then you realise it's not a dad band. Fleetwood Mac, I always thought it was a dad band. It was something that my parents liked, or the neighbours, the adult neighbours, because they had Tango in the Night. But that's not it. That's not what they are. It's absolutely amazing tunes. And also, when you know the backstory and you know that, for example, that Rumours is just basically the only way they were communicating half the time, and there was all this simmering resentment and fiery rows and intrigue and stuff going on, you listen to it with different ears. So, yeah, younger me wouldn't get that. She would go, what? What? What you mean, like, the ones that sing Little Lies, Tell Me Lies? Flipping it, Catherine, yeah. What's going on with you?
But when you kid, it sounds like cheesy popcorn. It's everywhere and it's very popular. And then when Clinton used it at his inauguration, you're like, oh, God, this is a proper sellout. Because I was always a fan of Peter Green.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bluesy, soul-y lad. And I was like, yeah.
That was a sad story, wasn't it, the way he went out?
Well, and the other guitarist, they went a bit crazy, didn't they?
Yeah.
Carried away by some sort of religious cult, one of them, didn't they?
Well, but the thing is, if they'd have stayed in, it wasn't going to get any saner, was it, in that band?
Nah, drugs. It's good. Anyhow, can I redress the balance? Because you keep talking about cats.
Go on.
My dog's amazing.
I know you're madly in love with that thing.
It's ridiculous, because I got him sort of by accident. My brother is a drunk, and he ends up in strange places. And one strange place was a lad's house, and they had this dog that they didn't really look after, and he's a pedigree. I think they were just breeding him for money, basically.
Right. A stud.
So, yes. And they called him Corporal with a C, because apparently, and I think this is maybe a myth, they'd fed him cocaine once.
What?
Yes. These are the type of people.
Wow, okay.
So even my brother, knowing how lonely I was, said, I'll ring up, see if he wants a dog. He rang us, middle of the afternoon, drunk. You want a dog? No, I was really depressed. I hadn't, and with my mobility being rubbish, I really couldn't manage it. I said, well, I'll give us a week to think about it, and I'll see. He went, all right, an hour later, the dog was here.
Blimey.
And they walked out, drunk, and left him. And I was like, well, seems like I've got a dog. But actually, it's been the biggest godsend since I've had him.
Yeah. I've seen your tweets. He's basically the light of your life, isn't he?
Totally. And I'm out every day now. I've been housebound for about 5 years. Albeit it's just around the locale.
Yeah.
Not going very far, not really socialising and stuff.
But it gives you a reason.
Yeah, and I think I would have... sounds a bit dramatic, but where I was, I think I would have popped me clogs.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm glad you didn't. And I'm glad he's getting a rest now, poor lad, from all that bonking. Although, from your tweets, I see that he still likes to keep his practice in.
Oh, God, it's everything. He's got a friend called Hudson. He was another Shih Tzu. Can't say a Shih Tzu.
The Shih Tzu.
Really bad deal with one dog in. But, it's a male.
But
when they get together, well, I was born, they might wrestle.
It's 2019, Cleo. Love is love. Daryl Morris.
Hello.
Nice to see you. I'm all right.
A text from Denny. We can both take the rest of the month off because we've hit our northern quota on Talk Radio.
Boom.
For tonight.
You've got till 58.30 to plug your ass off.
Oh, no. Can I tell you about the cocktail? Do we have to hit that time? Do we definitely have to hit? Because I really want to tell you about the cocktail twins.
Go on, let's push it a little bit.
Okay, push it a little bit. Because there was... I think that the... it's cocktail, isn't it? That's how you say
cocktail.
It. Cocktail. Cocktail twins. I've got a feeling that... Because you know the name of the band that came from... a song by Simple Minds.
Right.
Do you know that? No. Okay. So it's
I don't know anything about them.
Okay. And apparently, so my producer John has told me, apparently, that the song by Simple Minds comes from a story of twins in Canada who made up their own language, only spoke to each other in this language.
Oh.
And they could only communicate with each other. They couldn't communicate with anybody else. They didn't speak any other language.
Yep.
And then one of them died, meaning that the other one was left totally unable to communicate with people.
So are they singing in gibberish half the time?
So that's the point. I think that's part of the point, yeah. I think the part of the point is it roots back to that story of those twins.
Blimey.
Do you see what I mean? I think that's the case. I'm sure somebody could correct me, but...
Oh, well, they'll have to wait till tomorrow.
Well, quite.
Or actually now, 03444991000. Daryl Morris's turn.
We've got 4 hours to fill. Come on. Have we, like, really run over? Or can I have to quickly tell you what's coming up?
Go on, quick.
We're going to speak to John LeBoutier, former Republican, congressman.
Yep.
About an interesting week for Trump. Not a terrible week for Trump, but an interesting one. We'll talk about that. Also, Andrew Nelson, who had his B&B. I always wanted to say Airbnb now. I can't just say B&B. It's 2019 for you, isn't it? Flooded in 2015, what it's like to be caught up in floods. Also, we're going to hear from the woman who's got a slime museum in America.
Blimey.
Brilliant, right? It's just like a slime theme park that if you're really into, people are really into slime.
They are.
You can go and you can bath in it, I think, and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
The real thing.
Don't go anywhere. Darren Morris up next. That's me done for tonight. I shall see you same time, same place tomorrow. Good night.
We are Talk Radio.